Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Road to the Grey Cup 2013. I am your host, Derek Taylor, and we look back at the magical 2013 season, the Riders winning the Grey Cup in Regina. We're unable to bring you the 2020 Grey Cup in Saskatchewan, so this is our way to celebrate along with you. The Riders finished that 2013 season with an 11-7 record, the same as their opponent in this semifinal, the BC Lions. All three games between the Riders and Lions happened in the second half of this season, so we had a good idea what to expect. Riders with two wins over BC by two touchdowns in the first week of October and by three touchdowns at home a couple of weeks later. So on that level, the Riders had every reason to be confident in this game. On another level, there's the thought that you want to go into the playoffs hot, and the Riders were anything but. They were 3-6 in the second half of the season, and they lost back-to-back games heading into these playoffs. Then GM Brendan Tamman says he and head coach Corey Chamberlain were not worried about that at all.
Yeah, the last game of the year, myself and Corey approached it, let's just get through it healthy. I don't want to say we didn't care if we won or lost. We always do. But I think you know where I'm coming from. The winning and the loss of that game, if memory serves me right, wasn't going to affect our standings, if I recall. Mm-hmm. And I think we just wanted to get through that game healthy and get on to the playoffs because we knew that was the important one. You never want to lose, don't get me wrong, but the last two of the year, you know, I think we played Chris Garrett, if I'm not mistaken, and he was the player of the week in a loss, which was amazing because he was our running back instead of Sheets that game. We didn't really consider the two-game losing streak a big deal. We were still the team that had won, like our whole year, we were a streaky team. We'd win, 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 lose. So we knew going into the playoffs were a whole new slate. It really was.
Running back Corey Sheets and guard Chris Best both point to an improving injury situation as reasons that they believed.
We weren't too worried just because we knew, well, one of the games we lost was because I didn't play. And the other one was, it was just basically like people were trying to get healthy. And we already knew we had secured everything. So the last game, we really wasn't too worried about. But going into the West, we were pretty confident.
We knew we were just getting healthy. I'd actually had just come off a foot injury. I tore my foot right before Labor Day there. So I just played the last regular season game of the year. That was my first game back. And I just proved myself that I was healthy enough to play. So, like, we were cautiously optimistic at the time. Like, we knew BC was going to give us everything they had. But, I mean, we weren't, like, that defeated. We had definitely a good feeling going into that game.
The BC Lions were in the exact opposite situation as the Riders. The Lions had won their final two regular season games heading into the playoffs, and having won a game in Regina that year, though the Riders were without Corey Sheets, they had reason to believe as well. The overarching story for that year, as you know, was that the Riders would be hosting the Grey Cup in 2 weeks. The pressure of that was felt all through the organization, all through the season, all the way up to the GM's office.
Well, Derek, I mean, I was fortunate enough that I was working for the team back before the last Grey Cup was in Regina, and we weren't very good that year, and that was not a fun year to go through. A guy like myself, I'm not going to sugarcoat things and make things up. Oh, there wasn't any pressure. Like, come on. There's pressure when a Grey Cup is in your home park. I've been through it in Winnipeg. I've been through it elsewhere. And when you talk about it in Saskatchewan with the expectations we had, I mean, I think our first 7 or 8 games that year, we had at minimum 35,000 people coming to our game. So do they think they're just going to come watch an average to so-called average team that hopefully can get to a Grey Cup? I don't think so. So to answer your question internally, yeah, I significantly felt it, and it started at the end of 12 when it was very clear that the expectation not only was just the playoffs, but to get into that game. That was very clear to me. So I was not going to sit back and just go, well, let's hope we win and, you know, we'll do what we can. And I was going to be, the word I like to use to go back into that year was I was going to be aggressive.
And Tamman certainly was aggressive. Free agent pickups, preseason and in-season trades, including the one for longtime Lion, G. Roy Simon. And as Simon will tell us a little later in the broadcast, he brought more than his skills to Saskatchewan. He brought some insider info as well. We'll go inside the booth with Luke Mullinder next. It's the Road to the Grey Cup 2013, the story of the West semifinal. Thanks for being with us on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Inside the booth, Derek and Luke, in advance of the West semifinal versus BC on the road to the 2013 Grey Cup. Luke, the Riders come into this one having lost back-to-back games. What was your perception of having back-to-back losses for them into this game?
We talked about it last game, and I think that the win for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders coming into this playoff game was their ability to take those two losses and all the noise and chaos that it created around them, around their locker room, block that out and focus on getting a big win. And when you look at those playoff games, there's going to be a memory. There's going to be a couple plays here and there that people remember in terms of whether the game was good or whether the game was bad. Now everybody's going to remember Darian Durant and the way he played in the fourth quarter. But I'll always consider the win here was the coaching ability and the players' ability to block out the previous 2 weeks, show up against a really good BC team, and get the win at home, right? I remember in 2010 we went through this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right, where we weren't playing our best football heading into the playoffs, but BC, they were in our house, and we knew that it was going to come down to the final play. And as a matter of fact, it didn't even come down to the final play. We needed more plays in overtime to win that game. But it was because we stayed together as a group that we were able to pull that victory out. And the playoffs, really, you look at that. I look at 2010 and for instance, Jason Claremont scoring the overtime touchdown to win the game. And he hadn't been as productive as he would have liked to be leading up to that game. But when he was needed and we needed a vet, he showed up. And that's like, for instance, Darian Durant, G-Roy Simon. Like, you really saw where the advantage was in Brendan Taman forming that team very early on in the year, because it paid off in this game, the next one, and obviously the Grey Cup.
Yeah, two touchdowns for G-Roy in the Grey Cup coming up here in a couple of weeks. The QB matchup in this game, when you reflect 7 years, everybody here will talk about Darian Durant till we all die. Can't underplay how good Travis Lule was for the BC Lions. 32 touchdowns in 2011, 27 in 2012. Some injuries, but that guy was for real.
Guy was a Grey Cup MVP.
Yep.
Right? And by the way, that was only 2 years ago. Lule was at the top of his game. I know that everybody looks at it now and says, man, we really got cheated out of Travis Lule because of the injuries. And really, that's been the three BC quarterbacks have been like that. Dickey, right? Buck Pierce.
Yeah.
And then Lule, who again, had some injury problems at the end of the year. But he was considered, people are forgetting this too, Lule was considered like the guy, like in the league, not just in the West. Like, he was considered the guy. And obviously in Saskatchewan, where your football legends are so entrenched in the history of the uniform and of the S, this was really like, hey, one legend versus another going head to head. But more importantly too, like, both guys were surrounded by a good coaching, right? You got Wally Buono running the ship, right? But a good coaching, but B, they were talented teams, right? And you sort of look at this as, like, look at the gamut they had to run. They had to go through BC and then Calgary. Like, this is always that conversation you and I have about the difference between the East and the West, where the West literally goes through a 20-week slugfest and then has to play two more teams if you're the second-place team. Has to play twice again against the same Western opponents, while the East team just sort of gets to cruise into the playoffs, get through the playoffs. They're all fresh. Like, you're literally going shot for shot with the best in the league, and they came into that Grey Cup, and I'll tell you what, thank God that it was in Regina, because I think that gave them that extra boost.
Yeah.
I really feel like they had to run the gamut all year, and BC and Calgary to finish it off, that wasn't an easy task.
Saskatchewan leveraging the cold weather as well. You'll hear Chris Best talked about it as we roll on. No Chris Getzlaff in this one with a knee injury. Little used Eron Riley was in his place, just for a flash to the past. We go to break. On the other side, we'll talk about Corey Sheets in this game and give you a little taste of what the Lions had to offer on the road to the Grey Cup 2013 on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Back inside the booth, just a few minutes away from kickoff of the West semifinal on the road to the Grey Cup 2013. Derek Taylor, Luke Mullender with you. Corey Sheets versus BC in the regular season, he was there for two of the games. 39 carries, 228 yards, and three touchdowns. And oh, by the way, added in nine receptions. But as this game rolls on, you're going to hear just how ready BC apparently was for Corey Sheets. Because apart from one long reception, on the ground, bottled him up, which I didn't know I thought anybody could do.
Well, you stop the run, right? Like, you come in there if you're BC and you say, okay, here's the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They've got a good quarterback. They've got a great offensive line. And they've got a great running game. So how do we, like, what can we take away from them, right? And what position can we put them in where we can say, okay, you know what? If they beat us, they're going to beat us like this. What we're not going to do is lose via this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And so BC, I think, came in that game with the game plan to literally shut down the run, shut down Corey Sheets, and make Darian Durant carry that team. They did not expect Darian Durant's legs to carry them in the fourth quarter. Yeah. That's what they couldn't handle that. They didn't know what to do. They had no answer for Doubles' legs. And that's the best part about Doubles. That's why he's such a legend. That's why he's one of the best to play the game for the green and white, is that when he needed to, he was himself, right? He said, okay, this is I'm not going to beat you through the air, especially the way you're playing D. You've taken Sheets out. Well, guess what? You're not going to be able to handle it. And they were giving him, right? And that's the other reason why you knew what they were doing, is because in that fourth quarter, when Durant started making the plays with his legs, they had no answer for it because they weren't ready, because they were occupied elsewhere.
Yeah.
They had their focus on guys like Taj Smith. They had their focus on guys like Corey Sheets. And when that happens, when you're so locked into a game plan and then the other team counters with something that you knew existed but you didn't know they'd lean on, that's where you see the difference in the game. BC wasn't ready. BC was ready for every single thing that the Riders had for them that day, because the game was close.
Oh, BC right? led most of it, yeah.
Exactly. But they didn't have the response for what they didn't scheme that week.
And think of the names that they popped out there on defense. Guys like Corey Banks and Adam Big Hill has a huge hit in this game. Josh yeah. Bell, Ryan Phillips, Dante Marsh. You go,
BC, this is one of the best secondaries to play in the league right now. All those guys you just mentioned, those are Hall of Fame guys, right?
Those are Hall of Fame guys.
Like, look at the thing. Yeah. Right? And that's why you're not going to just go over that. This is the playoffs. That group you just mentioned, most of those guys were there in 2008 when they were just waiting, and they literally said to our defensive players, man, we're just going to wait for him to throw it to us. Or they were talking about Michael Bishop at the time. What'd they do? They picked it three times. Like, you remember that, right? And
yeah.
And you know teams have their reputations. BC's reputation has always been having guys like Corey Banks back there. So you always knew that, hey, if you were going to go through the air, you're going to have to earn it. But again, they weren't ready, and they didn't anticipate Doubles looking for a couple guys, taking a couple reads, and then just tucking and running.
Yeah.
They had no answer for it. You could literally see the confusion in their faces when that was happening.
We may not have known that as fans. G. Roy Simon knew it very well, and he tells a very interesting story of what he said to Durant in advance of this game. That is coming up. We are about 3 minutes away from kickoff. Rod Black and Dwayne Ford will take us through the West semifinal on the road to the Grey Cup in 2013 on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Hello, Canada. It's the Western semifinal. Greenland, Regina meets Iceland today. Temperatures plummet. Wind chill at minus 20 degrees. BC Lions, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 2-11-7s. Will collide, winner to meet Calgary next week.
Mike Benavides in his second season as the BC Lions head coach. Coming in here to Saskatchewan, he's got one of his stars back. Travis Lule makes his first start since September 15th. He has not faced the Saskatchewan Rough Riders yet this season. And those Riders, of course, led by number one Corey Sheets, the Canadian Football League's second leading rusher, averages over 100 yards a game overall, 228 yards and three touchdowns in two games against the BC Lions. For his head coach, Corey Chamberlain, also a second-year man, looking to guide his team to a Grey Cup berth here at home.
He's got his heated boots on. There is former Rough Rider Paul McCallum. He's going to kick this off in the madhouse at Mosaic, the ice house today. Cold, cold conditions. BC Lions won the coin toss. They defer to the second half. The Rough Riders will have the wind in the first quarter. They have been notorious slow starters all season long, but good finishers. We are ready to go. Here we go. It is the Western semifinal in Regina. Dribbled kick, and the Rough Riders struggle to pick it up. Tristan Jackson has it at the 32-yard line.
G. Roy Simon, first question to you. What did you find it was like playing against your old team?
It was weird. It was really weird to play against guys that I've known for 10-plus years and guys that I've been teammates with for 10-plus years. But I must admit, I was bitter towards them. So, you know, when we sent them home, I was elated. That was almost my Grey Cup because, you know, like I said, I felt like I was cast out and kind of left to fend for myself. So when we sent them home, I made sure that I let everybody know that how I felt. And, you know, I was pretty excited about that.
And Darian Durant will bring out his offense here. Saskatchewan Rough Riders get the ball first.
And Darian Durant, four touchdown passes, one interception against the BC Lions this season. Two wins, one loss for his Riders. We mentioned Corey Sheets, 114 yards a game on the ground. Weston Dressler has a touchdown in every game against BC during the regular season.
No Chris Getzlaff out of the lineup. That is a key loss. Sheets to the ground right away. Anton McKenzie, who is filling in for Solomon Elamimian, who is not in the lineup for the BC Lions, and that is also a big replacement. No Elamimian next to Adam Big Hill today.
The Saskatchewan Rough Riders looking to get off to a great start. Only one opening drive touchdown on the season. That came in week one against the Edmonton Eskimos.
Second and four from the 38-yard line. Shotgun Durant. Ball was tipped there. And G. Roy Simon, the former BC Lion, makes the catch. G. Roy Simon could be a huge factor in this game. Again, no Chris Getzlaff. And you'd have to think that number 81 is going to be called on a lot.
Yeah, a guy who's had as much playoff success as any player in this ball game today. The former Lion facing his former team should have plenty of opportunity to step up.
Became the all-time receptions leader, all-time yardage leader this year. A little swing pass out of the backfield. Weston Dressler down the sideline. Out on the BC sideline, a couple of yards shy of a first down. Here are the starters on BC's D.
Well, you mentioned Adam Big Hill, one of the elite defenders in the Canadian Football League. He's going to be huge today in the absence of Solomon Elamimian. Anton McKenzie in his spot. And of course, we know the storyline with that guy, Ryan Phillips and Darian Durant. Phillips, 9 career interceptions versus Durant, at least one each of the last 4 regular seasons prior to this one.
Second and 3, crashing forward is Corey Sheets. And stacked up and still going. And with a convoy, finally has the first down. There was no whistle. That was a lot of effort, but that is what Corey Sheets can do.
Well, Corey Sheets and a tremendous offensive line. Includes big Brendan Labatt, the West Division nominee for the most outstanding offensive lineman this season. But here's what Corey Sheets means to this football team. 11-3, 146 yards a game when he's in the lineup. 71 rushing yards a game without him. The record suffers.
Durant now flushed, and then he goes down quickly. Kareem Smith was right there to stop Darian Durant for a loss of 2 or 3 yards here. The first sack of the ball game to the BC Lions.
But in this situation, there's an emphasis from both teams, a desire to set the tone at the line of scrimmage, send a physical message very early on.
Two of the best defenses in the land Lions, number one defense a year ago, followed it up with another strong effort in 2013. Little drop play now. Sheets, high-stepping, Corey Sheets. Knocked out of bounds on the far side by J.R. LaRose. Just shy, it looks like, of that first down marker. Nine-yard pickup. He's going to be a few yards shy, and the kick team's coming out.
Adam Big Hill, he's got his eyes on number one Corey Sheets in that backfield. This is one of the key matchups in this ball game. Top linebacker versus a top running back. Big Hill doesn't have leverage. Sheets able to run through that arm tackle with the lower body power.
Strong left leg of Ricky Schmidt, former NFLer. High snap. Looks like a bit of a drop kick here with some backspin. Steph Logan has it, and Logan inches forward to the 20-yard line. So Travis Lule, first start since September after the injury to his throwing shoulder. Played a little bit last week. Getting ready for the postseason. Lule in the Lions offense up next.
11:24 remains in the first quarter of this West semifinal. BC about to take the ball for the first time. First and 10 from their 20.
Decibel level off the charts here at Mosaic. Travis Lule, the Red Bomber, as his coach Mike Benavides calls him, is back at the helm. First series, first down. Lule hangs in, takes a shot, going deep downfield for Manny Arsenal. And so right away, Travis Lule's shoulder gets tested by the oncoming Terrius George.
George, number 93, middle man of those five on the line of scrimmage. John Chick, by the way, on the inside right beside him. With that loop, Terrius George comes free. They want to, of course, be physical with the Lions quarterback. Real early on, you saw Travis Lule. No hesitation to try and test his secondary deep early on as well.
Talked about the wind and the cold, obvious factors, but the noise too. Four-man rush. Lule trying to quiet the crowd, and he will not hear. Far side looking for Courtney Taylor. Incomplete pass in immediately. Paul McCallum, a quick two and out for Lule and the Lions.
A surprisingly aggressive start for the BC Lions under the circumstances. Coming out looking to throw the football. You anticipate, as I said early on, in this situation, you want to set the tone physically at the line of scrimmage, establish your run game, because that's what it's going to be one of the keys, Rod, to controlling the pressure. That's Saskatchewan front.
Here's 43-year-old Paul McCallum. This kick will come into this breeze that comes from left to right on your screen. It's a wind that's getting stronger as the day goes on here. Here is a kick, a little bit of a line drive. Jock Sanders is there, and there is a no-yards call, it looks like. Sanders is brought down at the 50-yard line. Andre Prue is our referee today.
No yards. BC number 28, 15-yard penalty, first down.
With that, let's go down to the sideline, and joining us is Farhan Lalji. Farhan.
G-Roy Simon already with the first down catch in this game, but one of the big reasons the Riders brought him here was his leadership. That was evident in a meeting early in the week when they looked at a possible Lions blitz and a pressure, and someone in the meeting says, oh, they'll never do that. Simon stopped and said, this is the playoffs. They will do things that you haven't seen all season, things that you had not expected, and at some point during this game, a player you don't expect to make a big play is going to need to step up and make one.
Drop bag on the quick hitter. Thank you, Farhan. Well, it is a big game. Big time players make those big plays.
But it's guys that understand what it's all about at this time of year. G-Roy Simon has been there, done that in the Canadian Football League, and taking it one step further, knows the mentality of the guys on the other side in this football game. Very valuable asset for the Rough Riders to have in their lineup.
Certainties in life. Diapers, coffins, and G-Roy Simon being in the playoffs. 14 straight years now for number 81. Most of them, of course, with the BC Lions. Here comes the rush again. Durant hanging in. Now escapes and takes a heavy hit up near the 32-yard line from Lin J. Shell. Durant helped up by his O-lineman and chirping a little bit with Corey Banks. 5-yard pickup.
Corey Sheets, there were some big plays, but not a lot of points in the first quarter of this game. What was happening?
It's like it was a boxing match when you first come out and everybody is just trying to see what's what and be throwing jabs and seeing if they're going to bite on this and seeing what works. And I just felt like it was a boxing match and we were just throwing jabs that first round.
Bring on Chris Melo in the field goal unit. Important for Darian Durant. Take off occasionally, keep that BC Lions defense honest.
Chris Melo, outstanding season kicking for the Rough Riders. One point had a streak of 28 straight. Almost 89% on the season. This from the 38, Melo puts it up, and this is off the upright. Chris Melo rings one off the post.
Hey, it's Derek, and one big number here is 13. In his career, Chris Melo hit the upright or the crossbar with a kick 13 times, including this unfortunate start to the West semifinal. With the records that we can find back to 2004, Melo is number four among kickers on hitting goal posts, behind only Noel Prefontaine, Justin Medlock, and the all-time leader, Sean White of Edmonton. The thing that makes Melo stand out is that those other guys have attempted almost twice as many kicks, so Melo's rate of bonking the uprights is much higher. And we kid, because the guy had a terrific year in 2013, hitting 91% of his field goals, and in this case, one of his 13 uprights.
And it's still scoreless here in the Western semifinal.
We'll get back to the 2013 West semifinal in just a moment. For now, we welcome in receiver Rob Bagg. And Rob, this is about to be a nice stretch of the game for Dwight Anderson. And Anderson is a guy you have some interesting history with.
You know, Dwight Anderson was he kind of is a funny story for me because he played in Calgary for the first 3 or 4 years of my career. And to say that we had our unique battles would probably be a bit of an understatement. I loved playing against him because I knew he was going to give me everything he got, but part of me also just hated him. So then he's all of a sudden on your own team and just turns out to be a tremendous guy. And I really, you know, we really got along. I think that sometimes happens on the field when there's competitive environments and two guys kind of cut from the same cloth or going head to head enough times, you start to really dislike the individual, but in the end, he turned out to be a tremendous teammate, and he was a huge piece of that team as well.
I have to go back and ask if you have any particular, man, did I ever hate Dwight Anderson stories, because that's funny to me.
Well, I can't remember what year it was, but it would have been 09. I think it was 09 anyways. But we were playing at home. It was a cold game late in the season, and I don't recall. I mean, I got a couple penalties for sure, but I don't recall necessarily getting many that were as close to my hockey days as possible, but there was probably 3 or 4 plays where I did have go routes or blocking routes, and I don't think Dwight or I left the line of scrimmage. We were literally just punching each other. So, you know, we had a couple of those moments, and it would have been 09 because I remember Coach Miller looking at me and asking me, like, what had gone on, and it was just one of those moments where we both had lost our patience, and, you know, we resolved our issues in those short couple plays. So, you know, but that's just it. It's guys that go out there and give it every little bit of effort and you know, genuinely care about the game in the same fashion that you do. You know, it's just great battles, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but in the end, you definitely respect the guy, and that's how it sits now for sure.
That is absolutely terrific. Let's go back to the game now. 8:50 left in the first quarter. No score. Lions about to go 1st and 10 from their own 25.
Travis Lule again. From the 25-yard line, this time they go to the ground and wrestle to the ground by Keith Scholigan as the Riders show their 5 stud defensive linemen that time.
Well, they've done it a couple times to start off this ball game. John Chick moving around on the inside on the earlier hit. Keith Drolt on the nose is Terrius George. 5 defensive linemen. John Chick is kind of roving around and picking his spot. The BC Lions are going to have to locate and identify him and ensure that they go big on big in terms of their blocking scheme. O-lineman on D-lineman. Don't leave your running backs against those guys.
Throwing down this time, 2nd and 11. Four-man rush, Lula escapes the pocket and then tosses it off to Harris. Hit hard by Tyron Brackenridge. What a lick there, but it's a first down for the Lions. Harris absorbs the hit
picks up 13 on the dump and run.
Yeah, that's one where you take inventory of all your equipment after the collision. But nice adjustment on the fly, and this is what Travis Lule brings to the table. Little mobility to keep the play alive. There's the collision. Something came flying off the helmet of Andrew Harris. After that hit by the most fierce hitter in the Canadian Football League.
Tyron Brackenridge, linebacker last season, moved to free safety this year. Relishes it. Calls himself an assassin. Tight wing formation now. A hole opens up for Harris left side. Dwight Anderson trying to knock it out from Harris's grasp, but Dwight Anderson is only able to push him out of bounds.
On this BC Lions offense, as we mentioned, features Travis Lule, his first start in almost 2 months, hasn't faced the Riders this year. Nick Moore, much like Weston Dressler, a touchdown catch in every game between the two teams this season. Andrew Harris, been very limited offensively, 111 yards, but over half of those came in the last meeting when Stephen Logan was also part of this offense.
Logan right there lines up in the pistol formation. Turned by Lule, over to Nick Moore, and he's quickly met by a gang of three Rough Riders, including Mike McCullough over there. And it'll be second down.
And Tyron Brackenridge was this team's top defensive player during the season, and he is nothing but a playmaker. 5 forced fumbles, 3 interceptions. Ricky Foley, a former Lion, 8 quarterback sacks, one of 3 Rider D linemen with 8 on the season. Alex Hall, 4 of his 16 sacks this season came against the BC Lions. Those came as a member of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Second down and 8 for the Lion 52. Scoreless game. Lula stands in far side. Marco Iannuzzi makes the catch, but well short of the first down. 4-yard pickup. It's going to be third down and 2 to go. Make that 3rd and 4, so McCallum will boot it away again. Jock Sanders will go back. And the temperature here, the negative teens with the wind chill, minus 20. As the sun starts to set, it's not going to get any warmer. Under 6 minutes to go here in the opening quarter of the Western semifinal. McCallum. Ball just dribbles out at the 32-yard line. 22-yard kick. Darian Durant brings his offense back on the field. Riders, Lions, 0-0 in Regina.
5:34 left in the first quarter. No score yet. Riders ball 1st and 10 from their own 32.
Darian Durant, a lot of career bests for the Riders in 2013, including touchdowns thrown, 31. Interception percentage was down. Corey Sheets for a couple yards. Let's go back to that previous punt by Paul McCallum.
Yeah, and you've got to keep an eye on the left side of the protection. Left guard Kyle Jones, left tackle Seydou Haidara. Those guys are thinking coverage first and trying to get out of there in a hurry. The tackle Haidara barely gets a piece of his guy, Ricky Foley. He and Terrius George come in. I believe it was Foley who got his hands on that punt, affecting the trajectory, limiting it to a 22-yard kick. You got to understand which way your punter is stepping when you're in protection. If he's coming your way, you got to be firm.
2nd and 5 go the Riders. Durant's got time. Now heaves it for Taj Smith. Jump ball, and he's got it! Taj Smith caught the football! Wow! It looked for a moment like the Lions had an interception, and Smith stole it back. 53-yard pickup.
Corey Sheets, that was a heck of a catch from Taj Smith. What did you see on that play?
Honestly, I couldn't really see that play because I was blocking. But when we got back to the huddle, he was like, man, they ain't won it. He was like real excited and real pumped up that he made the catch.
G. Roy Simon, Taj Smith, am I right?
Taj was such an unsung hero that year. He was a guy that never really said a whole lot, but, you know, he played 1,000 miles an hour. You know, he gave it his all. Taj was, he's a guy that, you know, a lot of people talk about everybody else, but he was definitely an unsung hero because he did a lot of dirty work that a lot of people don't like doing and aren't willing to do. Taj should definitely be commended for having a great year that season and really, you know, taking his game to the next level.
And Taj Smith steals this one from Josh Bell, who had his body square, turned to it, but a little bobble after Smith gets his hands on him. Pops the ball loose. Not just one huge play on the catch, but a huge play to affect Bell and take away that interception.
Right to the red zone. Go the Riders. There on the far side. Eron Riley, who's replacing Chris Getzlaf. He had even lost a couple of yards.
After that big play by Taj Smith, sets him up in pretty good scoring position. Bear in mind, both these teams have been very good.
Second and 13, loss of three, though. Three receivers to the right. Durant looks over the top. Now swarmed and drilled by Eric Taylor. Nose tackle comes in and swims away with a sack.
Well, we didn't necessarily see the flurry of sacks from the BC Lions that we've been accustomed to. Big Eric Taylor, the man on the nose here. Fought his way through the right guard, Chris Best, inside shoulder to make that play.
So Chris Melo, who earlier hit the right upright, got no points. Second attempt from the 40. This kick is up and close again to the upright, but through. Finally, some points on the board. Saskatchewan strikes first.
We'll be back to first quarter action in a moment with the Riders about to go on defense. Here's safety Tyron Brackenridge, who until this 2013 season was linebacker Tyron Brackenridge. Did you like the move to safety that year?
Honestly, I didn't like it at all. I felt like
no
I never played free safety at all. I didn't like it. Initially, I did not like it. I knew that I was going to have to adjust, which is crazy that I was still learning that position. It was the first time I played in that position, and they were able to move me around and stuff. I ended up liking it, and it was crazy because of that Montreal game, that home game, that was my first interception as a free safety. Craig Butler, he was also, you know, because that's the position he's always played. And so even though I was starting, he was also giving me pointers. I would come to him asking questions about how you track the ball, because he did really well at tracking the ball in the air. He did really well, you know, just reading and reacting at that free safety spot. So I will ask him a lot of questions. And then also I spent a lot of time with Chang just, you know, helping me with my angles. So that was definitely helpful for me and made me fall in love with that position.
But initially, you know? Initially not for you, but eventually it was. I like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And for me to be able to, like, I've always been an aggressive player. Like, I love to hit people. That was always a big thing of mine. But now it's like when I got back there at free safety, I was like, oh, my God, it's going to be trouble for people because now I can get more of a running start. And that's not going to be good for the other person with the ball. So,
Tyron has a run at Andrew Harris coming up in this game. 2:50 remaining in the first. Riders up 3-0. Lions going first and 10 from their 35.
John Check, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Right now, five teams remain in the hunt for the Grey Cup. Hamilton advances earlier today in overtime over the Montreal Alouettes. Will meet Toronto next week. By the end of this game, there will be four. Winner of this game to meet the Calgary Stampeders in the Western Final at McMahon next week. 3-0 Riders. Lulek one way, then the other. Can't find a man. Now fires. And Paris Jackson has the reception over the midfield stripe. Paris Jackson is a player who has not been used very much in the offense for the BC Lions. He's used here to effectiveness. Let's go to the sideline once again. Here's Farhan.
Guys, for communication purposes, the Lions in the last couple of drives have actually been getting into two smaller huddles. Jacques Chapdelaine doesn't use the microphone to communicate to Travis Lule. He gets the call in early, so he'll get the receivers and backs together. Then after that, he'll go to the line. Also, they can communicate before they get to the line of scrimmage.
a sweep on the inside. Sean Gore's first touch has a pickup of 5 yards. Furthest penetration so far for the BC Lions into Saskatchewan's side of the field. Under 2 minutes in this first quarter.
Getting those receivers involved in the play calling a significant part of the BC Lions game plan. Attacking every gap across the field. Moulay, Logan, Harris, all part of that. The idea is spread this defense out a little bit and maybe open things up as time goes on for Andrew Harris between the tackles.
Andrew Harris has words into the ear hole of Travis Lula. To the side, Lula in shotgun now. Five receivers set. Hands it off to Harris. The penalty flag flies, bounces outside, kicks it outside now, and Andrew Harris rumbles down the sideline. Tyron Brackenridge knocked him out of bounds, but let's see what this flag is about. A 12-yard pickup for the Winnipeg native, Andrew Harris.
Tyron Brackenridge, we all see what Andrew Harris is now. What was Andrew Harris like in 2013?
Andrew Harris was a beast there because he's always been a good competitor, a solid running back in this league. And, I mean, even the things that he's doing now, it still shows. And I think, like, with his ages, he's only gotten better. But, yeah, he was a good back. He was also a back that I always had to feel like I had to set a statement with. Like I told you, if I can take the heart and soul of the running back, I feel like I took the heart and soul of that team or that offense.
Offside, Saskatchewan number 37. Penalties declined. Result of the play is first down.
It's Rod Williams. Penalized Rough Rider.
A couple broken tackles here. Craig Butler shot through that line. Had the first shot at Harris. Bounces outside where he gets a chance to use that speed. Turned into a first down run for the Lions.
Stephon Logan back in the backfield now. Two-headed monster again. Logan and Harris for the Lions. Lule throws though. Gore on a seam and is brought down by Terrell Mays at the 25-yard line for an 11-yard pickup and moving the chains again. Lions marching the football.
Quick hitch to Sean Gore, and this is where you rely on a little help from your friends. In this case, Emmanuel Arsenal, Tristan Jackson. He's bearing down. Emmanuel Arsenault coming right across, gets that cut block to take Tristan Jackson out of the play and create that running lane for Sean Gore.
Could be the final play of this opening quarter. Then the Lions will have the wind in the second frame. Lule counts it down. Now looking outside, and goes to the far sideline again for Nick Moore. Moore, third leading receiver in the Canadian Football League, third leading receiver in the second half of the season as the clock hits the zero mark here after one quarter. An 11-yard gain. The BC Lions, a good drive here trying to answer that 3-0 Saskatchewan lead. One quarter down here in the Western semifinal.
Second quarter, this West semifinal begins with the Riders up 3-0, but BC on the brink. First and 10 from the Saskatchewan 14.
Two teams that came into this Western semifinal with identical 11-7 records. Two teams very evenly matched.
Yeah, the stat sheet pretty even to this point. Obviously a close ball game through the first quarter. The BC Lions moving the football well. Four first downs on their current drive. Now that's going to be important, not just in terms of developing their own offense momentum, controlling the time of possession, and so on. On a day like this, when you're an offensive player like Darian Durant, Corey Sheets, Weston Dressler, you want to be on the field moving. You don't want to be on the sidelines freezing. You hate when the opposing offense puts together a good drive.
So the Lions now with a good drive. They also very good inside that red zone. So here they go. First and 10. From the 14-yard line. Lule now with a handoff to Logan. Logan running, end zone bound! Touchdown! Stephen Logan finds the end zone. A 14-yard scoot. And a penalty flag flies after the touchdown.
Well, the extracurriculars, the cause for the flag, but how about the speed of Stephen Logan? Nice job by that offensive line, getting outside shoulders, gaining that leverage to free up the edge for the speedy
objectionable conduct BC number 17. A 10-yard penalty will be applied on the kickoff.
Nick Moore penalized for objectionable conduct. Steph Logan, of course, with the BC Lions back in 08. Then went south to the NFL for four seasons. Now back with the BC Lions. The first major score goes to the Lions. First play of the second quarter. Lions lead 7-3.
Riders about to get the ball back after the Lions score. Corey Sheets, so much has been said about the greatness of the offensive line in 2013. How did you view them from your perspective?
A tank. You ever been in a tank?
I've seen them in movies, but I don't want to be anywhere near one in real life.
Yeah, tank. It just, when I tell you, that season was just like, it was so completely different from the year before, just as far as the wear and tear on my body, and that all attests to me not having to get tackled by 300-pound defensive linemen or get tackled by guys at my size or less than that. Like, my first season, I used to sleep in hot tub, like, after the games. Year two, it was like, Corey, you get in the hot tub? No, I'm cool. I'm going for him. Like, I don't need to get in the hot tub today.
That's good.
Like I said, I wasn't practicing, so I didn't have to run around, so I'm not worried about being sore later.
Both Sheets and Jock Sanders benefited from that tank. Sanders about to make a big play. Riders down 7-3 with 14:32 left in the second.
Steph Logan's return to the Canadian Football League could not have come at a better time for the BC Lions and even Andrew Harris.
Yeah, a team that needed to inject a little bit of life into their running game. Andrew Harris could be jealous with the arrival of Steph Logan, but quite to the contrary, he has benefited from having a little bit of help back there.
305, Dade County.
Again, three games with Logan in the regular season. As McCallum boots this away, again with the win, Jock Sanders zigs and zags, finds a hole. Sanders now, two to beat, and Paul McCallum lays a shoulder into him and may have just saved a touchdown as Sanders plows for more. A 56-yard kickoff return for Jock Sanders and the Riders.
An up-and-down season for Jock Sanders. But a big playoff, and that could be all forgotten. Some fumble woes. But right from the start, Josh Bell, the first man downfield. And Jock Sanders oversells him that he's going wide side. Bell overruns it. Sanders makes a miss and turns it up.
Now Corey Sheets. Barging up the middle, half the first down yardage, and Corey Sheets has been a little quiet early in this ballgame, but that is kind of the MO of the Rough Riders. In fact, that is their MO as a team. Quiet early in the game, first quarters, and this is the quarter where the Green Riders seem to light it up.
Yeah, led the Canadian Football League in second quarter points with 203 over the course of their 18 regular season games. Jock Sanders puts him in pretty good position to continue that trend here in the postseason.
Pick up of four, second and six. Durant, five-man rush here, will fire over the middle, and again, Josh Bell had an opportunity at another pick. Incomplete pass, and that is the first blemish for Darian Durant, his first incompletion of the game so far.
Well, Durant's got his eyes across that middle, but Corey Sheets coming out of the backfield and heading to that flat. He's wide open. Nobody's going out there with him. But Durant thinks he's got a shot at Dressler across the middle. That's where his read took him, but if he continued through his progression, he may be kicking a convert instead of field goal right now.
Straight through this time for Milo, now 2-3. And it's a one-point game. CFL playoffs on TSN, the Western semifinal continues.
Chris Milo's second field goal of the day draws the Riders within 1 point, 7-6 the score with 13:06 left in the second quarter.
Ricky Schmidt will kick this off. Again, into that very stiff breeze. Ball flutters. And Logan tripped up over that 25-yard line. slip there, but the guy who scored the touchdown on the return. Travis Lule out for another series here, nursing a one-point lead.
And Travis Lule off to a good start. We've seen him throw a few footballs out to that wide sideline, demonstrating that that throwing shoulder, injured back in mid-September, is feeling pretty good.
Travis told us yesterday, feels really good this week, had an excellent week of practice. He stimulated a lot of the audio NBC, but also simulated the fact that it would be cold. These very cold footballs, froze their footballs during practice. Lule over the top, man open is Arsenault, and Emmanuel Arsenault again punished by Tyron Brackenridge with a big gain here for the BC Lions, 24-yard pickup.
Tyron, why were there all these big plays early against statistically what was the best defense in the league?
Well, for one, we had to get settled, man. We had to get settled. They came out with a little bit of different look coming into that playoff, which we knew. We just had to kind of get settled in. But the rhythm and timing of that offense was they were clicking early. And our job as a defense is to disrupt that rhythm and timing. And they came out early and were just clicking on all cylinders, man. Lule, as we know, Lule is and was in his prime. Man, he can kill you. He can kill you with his arm, and he can kill you with his feet. So we had to literally see what type of game it was and get used to that tempo.
Right, you can see Travis Lule redirect his eyes, initially looking to the flat where he's got Stephen Logan out to his right. Defender goes with Logan. That opens up Arsenault down the seam. Lule with a little touch to drop it in there. Arsenault kind of quiet in the second half after getting off to a great start. Came a little bit more of the Nick Moore show. The Lions aerial attack after midseason.
Keep your head up when you're catching the football. Number 41 is out there. Inside handoff to Harris. Dwight Anderson brings him down. We talked about how the Lions prepared for this very cold day. This is what they did this week in BC.
Yeah, you do everything you can to try and simulate conditions for a playoff game. You don't want to be surprised or caught off guard. Putting the balls in the trainer's freezer, that ice chest, get them as cold as they can, with the understanding being the ball feels different when it's frozen. As a receiver, a quarterback, anybody who handles the ball, it's going to be harder coming in, a little bit harder to get a grip.
That's why protection of the football is paramount today. Cannot turn it over. This audio blitz continues by the Rider fans. Lule decides to go here, and he is tripped up just past Saskatchewan's 50-yard line. Craig Butler taking aim at him. 8-yard run for Travis Lule.
Well, this is one of the things that I feel is most important about what Travis Lule brings back to this BC Lions offense is his ability to run the football. Thomas DeMarco, a young quarterback. DeMarco wasn't necessarily a guy that was going to threaten teams on the perimeter or scramble a lot. More of a pocket guy. Travis Lule offers this threat, which again, very important against a front like the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Lule's been impressive so far. 7 of 9 for 86 in the air, and is also sprinted out. This time, dumps it off to Manny Arsenault again. On first down, picks up a couple. Mike McCullough making the tackle, the longest serving Saskatchewan Roughrider. Member of that Grey Cup championship winning team back in 2007. Under 10 to go before halftime.
Yeah, McCullough the only defensive player remaining from all of the Riders' Grey Cup appearances. John Chick, of course, was here and left for a few years.
Lions eating up a lot of the clock. 3.5 on this drive, threading the needle. And if there was any question about the arm strength of Travis Lule, that was answered right there. Courtney Taylor makes the catch in triple coverage.
Yeah, you think about a pitcher in baseball, you worry about losing a little velocity off the fastball after any kind of shoulder or elbow injury. Travis Lule shows right there in a very narrow window, but he can still put a little bit of heat on that ball.
Travis Lule, who just learned yesterday before the BC Lions charter was about to take off that he would be the starter today. Three first downs in this drive, this formation. Quads in the backfield. Now they go in motion. And the handoff is to Logan again. Steph Logan darts near the 30-yard line. Tristan Jackson, the tackle. Let's go back down to that chilly sideline. Here's Farhan.
Guys, you saw the heavy I formation for the BC Lions. Harris, Logan on the field at the same time with two to three receivers in behind them. They're going to burst from that formation, and they want to try to get Saskatchewan's defense spread out sideline to sideline, especially with who keys Logan and who keys Harris, and get a few mismatches. So expect to see that more in this drive and throughout this game.
Thank you, Farhan. A quadruple I formation. Travis Lule has spread the wealth here, Dwayne, as well. He's used seven different receivers. 8 minutes to go before halftime. Lions by one. Here comes the rush. There goes the football. And making the catch inside the red zone once again is Courtney Taylor.
Tyron, it's an 11-play drive using almost 9 minutes by the Lions. What's the feeling when they burn off almost 9 minutes?
Oh, man, like, for one, you're not only getting tired, but then, like, as a normal person, frustration could start to set in, right? And I think what we did as a defense, we kind of held our composure. We didn't get too frustrated. But there's a level of frustration that comes in, and now it's like, okay, we got to get off the field. We got to lock in. Let's play our game. We got all that out the way. Whatever it was, all the negative, all the everything, we got that out the way. Now let's strap in and lock down.
Corey Sheets, as BC's offense is burning off all this clock in the second quarter, what were you thinking?
That I was getting cold. And I think when my knee to get stiff, but I wasn't ever worried. It was just, it's never a good thing when your defense is on the field that long, but I wasn't ever worried about the defense because our defense was tried and tested throughout the season. And no matter if their backs was against the wall or they was on the field too long, they always came through for us.
Lule again throwing a dart across the middle to Taylor. Demonstrating once again if the Saskatchewan Rough Riders wanted to put him in position to make those tough throws to determine if he could. Taylor motions from the number three receiver into number two before coming across the middle to make that catch.
Seventh play of this drive. A handoff to Harris. Pounds the ground close to the 5-yard line, and this could actually give them a fresh set of downs. They could go first and goal here, depending on the spot. He might be a yard shy.
Again, the Riders with a chance to make that tackle at or behind the line of scrimmage, but Andrew Harris fights through.
Thomas DeMarco. Looks like he's coming in. Travis Lule. Get a quick reprieve. Warm up on the sidelines. DeMarco now short yardage quarterback. DeMarco did start in place of Travis Lule when he was injured. Got the Lions a couple wins. Their backup, of course, is Buck Pierce. DeMarco behind center now, and he will go forward, lunging. And we'll have to see where the spot is. It looks like the Lions will go first and goal now. It is a first down.
Thomas DeMarco picking that up. One of his wins, of course, in his first CFL start right here.
BC Lions dominant offensively. First downs, 12. Again, they've been chewing up this clock.
Tech play on this drive. It started at their own 29-yard line.
Lule returns. Harris in the backfield. Nick Moore, nearsighted. Here's Green. He's looking Moore. Lule now decides to go himself, straight arm, and he's pounded to the turf by Alex Holm. And Lule gets up. And now, just adjusting his socks. Travis Lule told us yesterday, last week in that final regular season game, really a warm-up for the postseason, when he went into the end zone, he said, you know what, I'm back, when he was finally able to run the football.
Yeah, he said that the biggest part about it was he didn't think about it. He just reacted. He wasn't worrying about the shoulder or thinking, maybe I shouldn't run. And the fact that it wasn't right there in the front of his mind, he took that as a good sign.
second and goal. Step Logan is in the backfield, right behind Lulin. He will get it, and he will score his second touchdown of the game. Again, the BC Lions. Impressive ball control drives result in Steph Logan with another touchdown.
But everybody, you see that heart flow to the left side of your screen. Everybody's anticipating when Logan gets the football because he's a smaller speed guy that he's going to try and break contain. Cutback lane came wide open. Logan was all over.
An 11-play, 81-yard drive for the Lions. Well, both teams have been into the red zone, and both teams have scored points. The difference is the Lions have two touchdowns, and the Rough Riders have two field goals.
Steph Logan again into the end zone, makes it 14-6 for the Lions. Riders with a chance to respond with 4:26 left in the second quarter.
Steph Logan, who had one touchdown in three games when he came back with the BC Lions from the NFL, has now two touchdowns in this playoff game.
Well, the defense sees number 10 in the backfield. As soon as he starts going right, everyone flows hard right, even this free safety, Tyron Brackenridge in the secondary. He's flowing to try and get to contain and support out there. Steph Logan recognizes that and just cuts it back up the middle.
Warming those gloves. Right now, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, their issue, you can look at all the numbers you want. The key right now is time of possession. That last drive took up 8 minutes and 40 seconds on the clock. The BC Lions. Once again, Jock Sanders, nice return up to the 45-yard line. Back down to Farhan.
The guy underneath all of this is Chris Getzlaff. Chris, just want to ask you about your status right now with the knee.
It's improving day to day. I mean, unfortunately, I wasn't able to go this week. It's kind of a last minute thing, but, you know, I'm looking forward to the boys pulling it out today and playing next week.
Yeah, I mean, will you play in the Western Final?
Yeah, I can't see me not playing in the Western Final.
Now, as far as the offense goes, there hasn't been a lot of traction with the passing game. What do you think they need to do a little more of here?
I think we just got to execute a little bit. I mean, overall as a team, we just got to tighten up and make some plays out there, and that'll get the field position switching.
Stay warm, Chris.
Thanks.
Well, there is a play, and there's a scrum. Taj Smith, again, has been the most active receiver so far. You know, lost in maybe all of that is the fact that Darian Durant has been on the sideline.
Well, this is what I was saying about the time of possession and the first downs for BC after the first quarter. As an offensive player, believe me, these are the games where you want to be on the field. The absolute worst place to be is on the sidelines trying to stay warm. If you're moving and in the flow of the game, you're not thinking about it, but moving around, it's easy to stay warm.
Lions load up the box now. Durant back to pass and chucks it to the sideline. And there is a penalty flag that flew as Darian Durant got rid of that football.
Looks like this one could be holding based on the position of the flag.
Holding, Saskatchewan number 68. 10-yard penalty, still first down.
Center Dominic Picard. First and 20 now. Again, Durant now dumps it off to Corey Sheets, looking for some running room. He's got it! Sheets, high stepping down, 40, 30! Foot race with Corey Banks. Corey Sheets is knocked out of bounds. And just like that, Sheets arrives in the Western semifinal.
I was mad I didn't score because of that stupid knee brace I had on. I couldn't run like I wanted to.
No way.
Yeah, that's the one Corey Banks pushed me out of bounds, right?
Yeah.
On that side, yeah.
Tell me what the knee brace was doing. It was just uncomfortable, or did you hit your other leg on it?
No, it was just heavy. So, and it was cold out there, so like my breathing was kind of messed up, and I couldn't run as fast and accelerate like I wanted to. And then just having that extra little lightweight brace on me, I couldn't get up to speed like I wanted to open up.
Oh, Chris Best, you got out and flattened some poor linebacker.
I got Anton, yeah, Anton McKenzie, former teammate of mine, number 42 on BC. Yes, I remember now. Yeah, that was personal because Anton was a heck of a competitor and he would always give it his all. Yeah, I remember getting out there and just flattening him. Sometimes it works. Because as Chris Sweets used to tell us, we're the worst athletes out on the field there. But every once in a while, everything aligns your favor, and you get a chance to just flatten some poor DB or linebacker, and that was one of those plays.
One way or another, you got to find a way to get the ball into the hands of your most dangerous offensive weapon. It hasn't been the run game for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders early with Corey Sheets, but he comes up with a huge play right here via the pass.
Corey Sheets was not getting it done on the handoffs. This time, the little dump pass. Second leading rusher in the CFL takes it close to the house. 3 minute warning before halftime.
Welcome back, everyone, to the road to the 2013 Grey Cup. Mitchell Blair with you. It is halftime. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders trailing the BC Lions 17-16 at the half here in the Western semifinal being played at Mosaic Stadium / Taylor Field. I'm joined by Rob Vanstone of the Regina Leader Post. Rob, it's 17-16 at the half for the Lions. It's a game full of big plays with the Riders seemingly just doing enough in my mind to stay in this game. Is it safe to say that at the half the Lions have been the better team and that this score flatters the Riders a little bit?
I think so. The Rough Riders had a real tough time stopping Travis Lule and the BC Lions offense. Lule with his legs or with his arm was really having his way with the Rough Rider defense. And that's not what we've come to expect in recent weeks from the Rider defense. If you look at when the Riders were in BC, just barely a month ago, the Riders pretty much controlled the Lions on both sides of the football, but that certainly isn't happening today. And Lule is looking like the Lule who was named the CFL's most outstanding player not long ago.
Yeah, Travis Lule has had a great first half, and we've got to give a lot of credit to what BC's done offensively. Lule's outplayed Darian Durant, but they're also running the football very well this afternoon. How important is it for the BC Lions? Because they are winning the time count possession here. They're winning that battle overwhelmingly. That's what you want to do if you want to beat the Riders. You got to keep Durant and company off the field.
You absolutely do, especially when you look at the ball control offense that the Rough Riders ideally like to execute. With so many weapons in the passing game, that core of receivers is probably 1 through 5 is good or as great as the Rough Riders have ever had. But that said, the foundation of the entire offense is Corey Sheets. We saw the one screen pass where he went a considerable distance, but the Lions have done a tremendous job harnessing the Rough Riders' running game as it relates to Corey Sheets, and they've got to get Corey Sheets on track. It's really no secret when you look at the Rough Riders this season, their success is so largely predicated not only on the presence of Corey Sheets, but of him excelling, and there was a real corresponding correspondence between how well the Rough Riders play and not only Corey Sheets playing well, but even being available. The only dip they had all year was that little lull when Corey Sheets hurt his knee. And when he came back against BC in early October, the Riders started purring again, and they've got to get that Corey Sheets offense rolling again.
You talked about Corey Sheets and the big play at the end of the first half. As you said, I think the Riders have been outplayed by the Lions, but really, though, what's kept the Riders in this game, to me, are three plays. There was the Taz Smith 53-yard reception that really should have been an interception. He catches it in double coverage. The Jock Sanders kickoff return, and then that late reception that led to points. If we don't have those three plays, it's a pretty somber mood going into the locker room.
And it might be a bit of an apprehensive mood anyway when you consider that the Riders won in I keep alluding to this, but the Riders won in Vancouver back in October, and then you get home field advantage for a playoff game, and the Lions have pretty much dictated the tempo of this football game so far. You said at the outset that the Riders are kind of just hanging around. That's what you would expect from a visiting team that's lower in the standings, that you would hope to hang around and maybe be able to pull it off late, but it's the Rough Riders who are kind of hanging around, just little things that haven't gone their way. And you know, you look at the Chris Melo field goal attempt early in the game. He hits an upright, which has been an ongoing story throughout this season. But you would think at some point with the weapons that the Rough Riders have and with home field as an advantage, that should stand them in reasonably good stead in the second half. But nothing that we saw in the first half was really that anticipated.
All right, we'll take a break. Rob and I will be right back. It is 17-16 Lions at the half. It's the 2013 Western semifinal. And you are listening to The Road to the Grey Cup 2013 on the Cooperators Rider Radio Network. Welcome back, everyone, to The Road to Grey Cup 2013. I'm Mitchell Blair, along with Rob Vanstone of the Regina Leader Post. It is the 2013 Western semifinal, and at the half, the BC Lions lead the Saskatchewan Rough Riders by a score of 17-16. Rob, we talked about it in the first segment. BC has been the better team in that first half. Is this just a case for the Riders? They've got to tighten things down, or do the Riders have to really do anything differently to shut down Travis Lule and the BC Lions?
They've got to figure out the Lule puzzle, and it's not an easy one to figure out, because it's not like they're just doing one thing. Certainly they're using Travis Lule's mobility, which has always been a key part of his arsenal, but they're throwing the ball well too. So it's not like they can just look at it and say, we've got to shut down the run or we've got to shut down the pass. They've somehow got to find a way to neutralize everything that Travis Lule is bringing to this football game and that he is using to frustrate the Rough Riders defense and by extension, the fans. And, as you mentioned during the first segment, there have been some spurts for the Rough Rider offense, but nothing sustained. And on a cooler day like this, when the stadium isn't really sold out or isn't sold out surprisingly enough, they've got to do something to get this crowd into it, such as it is.
You talked about the weather. It was cold that afternoon. The wind chill made it feel around like minus 20. It didn't seem, though, to me as if the teams were affected by the weather.
No, you would think in a cold weather game, it would be more of a ground game based, 3 or 4 yards in a cloud of dust or pellets or whatever you kick up now on artificial turf. But there were still lots of big plays, and that's not what you would expect from a really cold game. But it's not like there's ice. It's not like there's snow. It's not like there's a howling wind. So it hasn't influenced the game from that standpoint. It certainly isn't the 1970 West Final, but it isn't Bermuda out there either.
Chris Getzlaf not in the lineup for the Riders. Do they miss him in your mind?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's so much talk about this Rough Rider receiving corps, and justifiably so. Taj Smith led the team in receptions this season, and his presence has been noted in the first 30 minutes. Weston Dressler has a touchdown and is always going to be a presence. But kind of lost in the whole equation sometimes is that Chris Getzlaf, after a disappointing 2012 season, led the Rough Riders in receiving yards this year and has been such a reliable receiver. And he's someone that is part of that group of 3 1,000-yard receivers that is so crucial to what the Rough Riders do. And they really miss him. And they're going to need everything in order to get past BC today. And they don't have one very important element to their offense.
We know what Darian Durant does in the fourth quarter of this game, and we know how it ends up. Darian, this was the start of just what was a magical three-game stretch for him. It's certainly the game that I think he's going to remember for his time in green, because if he doesn't have that fourth quarter that he has, the Riders aren't going to Calgary. And then we're not going to see what happens a couple of weeks later back at Taylor Field / Mosaic Stadium. Was this Darian's best game as a Rider?
I asked him that question, actually, when I was working on some flashbacks when we did a tribute magazine to Taylor Field. And I asked the question almost as a bit of a presumption, because it was his signature game. It was his landmark game. All the great moments Darian Durant has had with the Rough Riders. But people remember him basically willing the team to victory and taking over in the fourth quarter, rushing for 91 of his 97 yards. And that was the highest rushing total he ever had in a game as a Rough Rider. And it was in such a crucial game. And he also threw a couple of touchdown passes to Weston Dressler, etc. And he said, of course, it's a fond memory, but that July 1st, 2010 game against Montreal, when they were down a ton, and I think they were down 21 points, and they ended up winning it in overtime, and Darian threw for 5 touchdowns that day. He said that he thought that one was the best, but in terms of the most impactful, there's really no question. He had to do it. And you consider the consequences, too, of not doing it and what happens then. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no kidding. Rob Vanstone, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next Sunday when we do the halftime show for the Western Final, which, of course, saw the Riders go on to play the Calgary Stampeders. When we come back, Rod Black and Dwayne Ford will have the call for you. The second half, you're listening to the Road to Grey Cup 2013 and the Cooperators Rider Radio Network.
As we head to the third quarter on Road to the Grey Cup, there were a few players on this 2013 roster that won the Grey Cup back in 2007. Among them were receiver Chris Getzlaf and offensive lineman Chris Best. Getzlaf played 2 games that 2007 season, Best played 3, both guys spending most of their time on the practice roster. I was curious to ask them if they treat those 2 Grey Cups as the same or different.
I treat them as different. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think that every person in an organization has a play in winning. But to me, there's it's a difference when your name's actually on the cup.
Well, you contributed to the 07 one, right? In some fashion. I was curious how you take them.
Yeah, that's how I kind of look at it. Yeah. Yes, I was definitely part of the 07 team and contributing in practice every day. But again, you know, actually playing in the game and getting your name actually etched on the Grey Cup, there's a difference there to me.
Chris Best, what was 2007 like for you?
Oh, I was just happy to be there. I was a highly drafted rookie who was not expected to contribute much that year, as we had a veteran-laden offensive line. I think I played 11 plays in total, most of them being field goal. I was just happy to be there, happy to learn how to play from some really good pros. But I was definitely helping on the practice side much more than the game side at that time because, we had a great offensive line that year, so there was no chance for a first-year guy to break in there.
You were part of a team that won a Grey Cup in 07, and then you were a starter on the team that won in 13. When you think of those Grey Cups, do you think of them the same? Do you think of them differently?
They were both special in different ways, for sure. 07 was, especially after such a long and hard college football career, it was really nice to actually finally start winning again. Because football is a lot of fun when you're winning, but when you're losing all the time, it's not quite as much fun. So it was really nice to get out there and be with a bunch of great guys and, yeah, put some wins on the board and get that championship. But 13, obviously, being out there on the field, especially after being on the field for the Grey Cups multiple times before that and coming up short, it was a really special moment for me as well. But probably 13 is more special because I was on the field, but 2007 really kind of cemented me as saying, you know, I'm gonna give this pro football stuff a shot, see how it goes.
Getzlaff missed this West semifinal that we're hearing again, but he returned for the West final and the Grey Cup. He finished the playoffs with 6 catches for 113 yards, narrowly missing a touchdown in the title game.
You know, doubles decided to throw me out on the 1-yard line rather than just lead me for a touchdown. So I gave him a hard time about that all the time.
Come
but
on.
We had run the we ran the play several times in that game, and G-Roy caught 2 touchdowns off of it. And for whatever reason, their DBs that game just they kept getting caught with their head in the backfield, and the level of separation that we were getting on our corner routes were exponential. And doubles threw a really good ball, but you know I kind of caught it in stride, and I was more focused on making sure that I stayed in bounds than trying to get that 1 extra yard for the touchdown.
A true team player was Chris Getzlaff. Third quarter of the West Semi about to get started. Riders down 17-16 to the Lions. Here's Rod Black and Dwayne Ford.
Playoff football on the Tundra. Western semifinal, 1-point game heading to the second half. Here's Saskatchewan Rough Riders head coach Corey Chamberlain with Farhan.
Corey, you got the one big play from Corey Sheets on that screen. How do you get him more success in the run game?
Well, you know, it's playoff football. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be pretty hard for any team to get those big plays. So we just got to keep playing hard and eventually one of those will burst.
From the Lions' perspective, they've really had a time of possession edge, but how encouraged are you that it's still only a 1-point game?
Well, that's the good thing about it. Like I said, they've come with some new things, and they've run around and getting used to what it is. So this second half, it'll be a different brand of football.
Thanks, Corey.
All right, thank you.
Corey Chamberlain and Mike Benavides still both coaches looking for their first playoff win. Second-year coaches both losing in the postseason a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Experience, I believe, has served both of these sophomore head coaches very, very well. They've come into this game with their team clearly well-prepared, well-coached. We've seen some pretty effectively executed game plans despite the weather conditions in the first half.
Again, the weather conditions, the temperature continues to plummet, but the wind is subsiding somewhat. The BC Lions, again, won the coin toss, deferred in the second half, will have the breeze with them in the third quarter.
Yeah, an interesting decision, breaking from the traditional expectation, but maybe anticipating that it may become less of a factor as the game goes on, but maybe a little bit nervous, as you hinted, as we talked at halftime, Rod, that if this game comes down to a last second kick, you'd sure like to have that wind behind you.
As you know, that wind also swirls here at Mosaic. It can pick up at any time. Second half underway. Stephan Logan, who was the go-to guy in the red zone for the BC Lions in the first half, 2 major scores. Travis Lule started off slowly, as the guys in the studio said, and 0-for-2, and then went 13-for-14.
Right. You got a little bit of a sense that those first two were kind of throwaways to say to the Saskatchewan defense, Yeah, just back up a little bit, fellas, because the arm's feeling just fine. Andrew Harris, 66 yards of offense is more than he had in any of the three matchups between these two teams during the regular season.
And again, having Logan in the mix has changed it up for Andrew Harris. Scrimmage for the Lions. Play action and well played again. Good bit of deception as Andrew Harris takes the handoff on the right side. Got to think that if Travis Lule wasn't a quarterback, he'd make a pretty good point guard in basketball.
That little dish misdirection on the play action. BC Lions here breaking the huddle. Nick Moore finds a little something and realizes his buddy Sean Gore doesn't want to be without that hand warmer. Tosses it out to his fellow receiver just before that play.
Again, you can see the communication really with hand signals in this din. Second and three, up the middle. Again, Andrew Harris. Tyrone Brackenridge makes the tackle right on the midfield stripe.
Well, you heard Chris Schultz talk about it at halftime. This is probably as well as you've seen this BC Lions offensive line. Play at any point this season. They create an absolute gash here for Andrew Harris. Javon Olafioye gets up to second level, and there's that run lane to the inside. Fortunately, the Riders have the sure tackling Tyron Brackenridge on the back end to avoid a much bigger gain there from Harris.
Harris is the leading rusher in the game. 75 yards on the ground. Logan this time. Steph Logan, again, they call it the two-headed monster. Two very different backs in terms of stature, size, and also in style. But this seems to be really working for the BC Lions.
Yeah, absolutely. And it becomes a different personnel package, a different set of plays sometimes that you have to prepare for. Defensively, Stephon Logan offers a different threat planted in the minds of defensive coordinators.
One guy's getting warm all the time, too. Gets warm, comes in. Harris back in now. Second and five. From the Rough Rider 50. Again. This time, Lule on the boot. Travis Lule keeping it on the ground. Not afraid to take off with it. Brings it close to the 35-yard line. And another fresh set of downs for the BC Lions.
This is, credit goes to the success that Andrew Harris and Stephon Logan have had on the inside. Harris in the backfield, right beside Lule. They're keying on him. They've had some success up the middle. Alex Hall off the right end, crashes down hard inside. There goes Travis Lule around the end for a first down.
Brilliant game calling right now from John Chapdelaine, offensive coordinator for the BC Lions. No two plays have been similar back-to-back. Lula again to the air in tight coverage. Manny Arsenal with another first down.
And we talked about the things the BC Lions did concentrating. You see Arsenal, the single receiver out there against Tristan Jackson. Jackson giving him some space, respecting the speed. Arsenal pushes deep. He's on that outside comeback. Now the important thing, sometimes the tendency with cold hands, cold footballs, is to want to catch it against your equipment. Arsenal, catch it in his hands. You credit the drills they did during the week with the cold balls and still concentrating on those things to avoid having balls bouncing off your pads and bouncing away.
Tighter formation this time. Hands to Logan, left side. Step Logan now, 10-yard line to the end zone. And he fumbled the football. There's still no signal at the goal line.
Initial look, he appeared to be across the plane before the ball came loose. We'll wait for the official call here.
Looked like he had broken the plane. Again, just the nose of the football has to penetrate the line, extended upwards.
Yes,
and it is, with Paul McCallum coming out, a touchdown. We didn't see the signal from the official. And again, all scoring plays are reviewed. Paris Jackson recovers in the end zone. And with McCallum out there for the point after, it appears this is indeed another touchdown. Yeah. Make it the hat trick for Steph Logan.
And I mean, he appears to be down regardless when the ball
the
pops out.
The play is under review by the command center. The play's under review.
You know, you talk about the Saskatchewan Roughriders and all the players that brought an experience this year. How about the players the BC Lions, Dwayne, have gotten this year back from the National Football League? From Chris Wilson to Manny Arsenault to Steph Logan.
Yeah, and all guys coming back who are familiar with the environment, familiar with the system, familiar with a coaching staff that's had a lot of stability over the years. And the team knows exactly what they're getting in these players as well. They know they're going to fit in. So the ball is coming out. Tristan Jackson gets a hand on it and pops it. It's out before he's down. Definitely out before he's down. And I don't think it had broken the plane yet. So again, this goes back to a ruling a couple weeks ago having to do with whether that recovery is considered immediate or not by Paris Jackson.
Let's see if he got touchdown.
Again, the command center, all scoring plays reviewed, taking a look at it, waiting for the official determination. You know, the heartbreaking thing for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, a big hit by Jackson. And they're right there and able to scoop it up. It would have been the first turnover of this game. Last time they met, there were 8 turnovers by the BC Lions. No turnovers yet.
Upon review, the ball carrier did fumble the football prior to reaching the goal line. The ball was not immediately recovered by BC, therefore, it will be BC's ball, first down at the 1-yard line. BC's ball at the 1, first down.
Tyron Brackenridge, my goodness, you guys were so close to an enormous defensive play.
Yeah, man, that was so close, man. That's what you call, like, when we say the football gods are not on your side. Well, the football gods was on BC's side at that point in time in that particular play. Those are things that, especially in a game like that, things like that can be deflating for the opposing team that didn't receive it or recover it. But we again, the mindset of that defense that year, it was remarkable.
So the Lions do not punch it in, but they will go first and goal. So now it's up to the Saskatchewan Roughriders. See if they can pull off a goal line stand. If they can, how big was that hit by Tristan Jackson? Charred the ball loose. Of course, the Lions could make it elementary here by plunging the 1 yard.
Rough Riders are a player short, it appears.
DeMarco. And the Rough Riders will take that penalty.
Yeah, that's a good heads-up play by the veteran Mike McCullough. It's not going to affect them in terms of the spot of the football. McCullough was the first guy in the huddle who notices and recognizes that he's screaming to the sidelines. You'll see him counting. He knows right away that they're missing a guy and he's calling for the sidelines. But then he says, kind of says, forget it, we'll play. And he knows exactly what to do to sort out the situation. So he's the guy who jumps offside and gives him a chance
offside
to get a man in there.
Saskatchewan number 45. The ball will remain on the 1 yard line. Still first down.
There is their defensive coordinator behind glass, Richie Hall. Can't say enough about that guy, Mike McCullough. What a great community guy. Excellent feature in our pregame about Mike McCullough and his tenure here and the family man that he is. Now a leader on defense. Can the Riders hold from the goal line? Thomas DeMarco behind center. He's going left side. He'll walk in. So indeed, moot point. The Lions get 6 points.
Lions bring 3 backs into the ballgame, 2 big fullbacks, Limbala and Kronk. They made it clear, one way or another, DeMarco is going to be the ball carrier. They motioned all the backs up early. But the element of surprise being the fact that he keeps and goes around the edge, and they've got him outnumbered completely. 4-2 on that call.
Third string quarterback out of Old Dominion puts it in. BC Lions now extend their lead. 3 times they have been in the red zone here at Mosaic in the Western semifinal, and 3 times they have found the end zone. 24-16 Lions.
The Lions open the third quarter with a touchdown. Riders trailing 24-16 now. They'll go first and 10 from their own 31.
We got it.
Doc Sanders. 8-point BC lead. And can't say enough about the Lions and their run attack that has been reinvigorated by the return of Steph Logan, averaging 164 yards on the ground the last three games when Logan came in. Before that, just 74 yards on the ground over the previous 10 games.
Yeah, I mean, their running game for much of the regular season had been a huge question mark for these BC Lions. And you heard Milt Stegall talk about it. One of the keys to this working is Andrew Harris's acceptance of it. And as you've seen, he's been the beneficiary in a big way of having Steph Logan back.
Rough Riders have been able to answer, respond. Run. And will it be Corey Sheets behind cover? There Sheets goes for a couple more yards. But Corey Sheets, the most impactful Rough Rider all season to their team. When Corey Sheets didn't play, the Riders didn't win. They were 11-3 when he was in the lineup. And he made a big impact on a great run after a pass by Darian Durant in the first half.
Oh, he sure did. If the run's not going to work, look for George Cortez, the offensive coordinator, find different ways to get the ball in the hands of number one.
George Cortez, the offensive coordinator for the Rough Riders. Got into it with this guy a few weeks ago on the sideline. A bit of a blow-up. Keston made up, said that things are okay. This is only the second two and out by either team in the ballgame.
Yeah, an unbelievable stat. As we talked about coming back from the half, very well-executed game plans for these two teams. You usually picture kind of a grinded out, slow, sloppy offensive ball game in bad weather conditions. These two teams have put that all aside.
Corey Sheets, the Lions scored on their opening drive, and then you guys go two and out. Any concern for you at this point of the game?
No, that was the game. That was one of those moments where we were looking at each other, just saying, "Don't panic, just stay to the course. The pass is going to be there, and follow the game plan." Like we've been in these situations before, and as long as we don't panic and stay calm. That pretty much was our blueprint that season. I mean, that playoff is just, we learned ourselves and learned that even though other teams are making plays, our plays are still going to be made. And if you don't worry about that, then everything going to come to you.
High kick to Logan. Head down, but Steph Logan has been a big factor. Logan's run in the first half. Two of them. And a big one in the third quarter has propelled the Lions to an 8-point advantage.
Dog is mine. Riders offense does them no favors with the two and out. BC ball now. 8:57 left in the third quarter. They'll go first and 10 from their own 40, leading the Riders by 8.
Little quiet right now. They'll amp it up. Decibels. Always a factor in the playoffs here at Lausanne. Passionate fans. Hoping above hope that their hometown team can win here, win next week, and play in a Grey Cup that Regina will host in 2 weeks. Right now, the BC Lions, huge obstacle in their way. Sean Gore has about 7 there on a catch and run. Ricky Foley makes the tackle on the far side.
Well, one of the keys for the BC Lions today has been their rushing attack. During 3 regular season games against Saskatchewan, Andrew Harris had a total of 66 rushing yards. He's got 75 today. Steph Logan has chipped in with another 43 and a pair of touchdowns. The BC Lions, a little tweak to their offensive scheme. Found some success on the ground here today.
Again, having that varied attack. Riders don't know what's coming at them. Harris carries the mail again and goes forward for the first down. For all the talk of the struggles of Andrew Harris during the regular season on the ground, shades of 2 years ago when Andrew Harris played so well in the postseason for the BC Lions en route to a Grey Cup.
Yeah, picking it up in crunch time. It's precisely what Harris has done. A couple strong games to finish the regular season left him just a couple yards short of 1,000 yards, 198 carries, 998 yards for the Winnipeg native.
Andrew Harris, who got to the CFL thanks to a great junior career. Zulay, quick hitter to Nick Moore. Another first down for the Lions, and this ball control. run one play, pass another. Paying great dividends so far.
And there's not a ton of surprise to what the BC Lions are doing in having Travis Lule back in the lineup. And no doubt the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Richie Hall, their defensive coordinator and his troops, all knew BC Lions become a better and more versatile offensive team with Travis Lule under center.
Nick Moore, 1,000-yard receiver, the only one for the Lions this season. There's a penalty flag back at the 25-yard line. Like Paris Jackson may have helped out on that play by the BC Lions. Dwight Anderson called for it, played referee right away.
Holding, BC number 19. 10-yard penalty, the first down.
Yeah, the hand around the neck while standing behind him is a dead giveaway every time.
Yeah. Is Dwight Anderson 4 years in a row ranked as the number one trash talker in the Canadian Football League, but he backs it up. Huge season again. First with Saskatchewan. Five interceptions. Lule's got time now. Pocket closed and brought down by Ricky Foley. Last year's most outstanding Canadian for the Toronto Argonauts in the 100th Grey Cup.
Ricky Foley's calling card throughout his career has been the great motor, a guy who never quits. Great backside pursuit player, and as Lule looks to scramble away from him, there's Ricky Foley tracking him down to prevent a big game.
Guy who began his career with the BC Lions. Most outstanding Canadian with the Lions. Ended up with the Argonauts. A member of the Rough Riders, his first season here. Four-man rush. Lule now goes deep again, looking for Arsenal, and had his hands on it, but Dwight Anderson, you know one thing, he's talking now. The MVP of the Riders, most vocal player.
Travis Lule. He's putting his faith in Manny Arsenault, hoping his big play receiver can make a big play. Because Dwight Anderson, there, the coverage, absolutely perfect. But nonetheless, you saw from the end of that play, Arsenault had a shot at it.
This is the first punt since the first quarter for the BC Lions. Paul McCallum, bit of an angle here. Actually, upfield is Jock Sanders up to the 29-yard line. Corey Sheets, an outstanding season. This is when he starts to heat up in the second half in ball games. We'll see if that trend continues.
Hey, it's Derek again, and one big number here is 8. In the playoff games on the road to the Grey Cup, Darian Durant threw 8 touchdowns and no interceptions. And he completed 78% of his pass attempts. It is a legendary 3-game performance that will rival any great QB playoff runs in CFL history. But Durant might have been even better at the start of the 2013 season. He went 7-plus games before throwing his first interception, and in that time, he threw 17 touchdown passes. Durant had an amazing start and finish to that storied 2013 year. Back to the action with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Riders first and 10 from their own 29, still down 8 points.
Darian Durant fumbled the football. Again, it has been a clean game so far. No turnovers. Could be a crippler in the second half here. Under 5 to go, third quarter.
Jock Sanders was in the backfield. As the running back, it looked like the Riders had something on trying to get him out. I don't know if there's supposed to be a run fake there or even a handoff that Darian Durant was looking for. He lost the handle on that football.
Loss of 6, second and 16. Lions rush 3, Durant. Loads of time here. Darian Durant fires over the middle, and Taj Smith hauls it in at the first down marker. Tosh Smith has been the big play guy for the Riders so far.
Come up with some clutch catches. In this ball game, the team's third leading receiver during the regular season, just behind Chris Getzlaff and Weston Dressler, 3,000-yard receivers for this team for the first time in 20 years.
Four catches, 126 for Smith. A wobbler out to Tosh Smith again.
Well, we've seen them a number of times during the regular season hit Tosh Smith on those crossing routes where he's trying to lose the corner in man-to-man coverage as he comes through some traffic underneath. That time Dante Marsh stayed with him. The Lions had it well covered. That's essentially just a throwaway by Darian Durant, recognizing that there was no positive play to be had.
Three receivers over 1,000 yards. Again, one of those receivers not in the game today. Riders missing Chris Getzlaff. Those three receivers finished in the top seven in the CFL. Here's the rush now. And firing out is Eron Riley. And this will depend on the spot. It looks like a favorable one. And Saskatchewan looked like they got 15 on the play. Are going to be about a yard shy. It'll be third and one.
Eron Riley, the number three receiver. Out to that wide side of the field. Quick hook. Ball thrown on time. Just five catches during the regular season for Riley. No hesitation from Darian Durant today to go to the Duke product.
Could be critical third down here for the Rough Riders. Third and a yard. Andre Prue, our referee, signals that. And they're going to bring out some of the artillery here.
Yeah, Corey Sheets, who hadn't been in for the first few plays of this drive, will be back in the backfield for this one.
So third down and a yard. And Durant stays in shotgun here with Sheets behind him. Pistol formation. Third down. Sheets is stopped. Now let's see where the spot is. It looks like the BC Lions may have just stopped the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in their tracks. And you can tell by the reaction from the crowd. No reaction.
Chris Best, what did you think about the decision to go for it on third and one?
We felt it was pretty much automatic. We wouldn't even bother bringing in our goal line personnel. Half the time we would just line up and just run our standard inside zone play, tighten up our splits and just go smash people. All year long we could run with impunity, so we didn't feel it would be any different. And if anything, in my experience in the CFL, in the winter when it gets cold in the playoffs, like, you've got to be able to run the ball in those situations. So we felt very prepared for that. But as I said, BC really came to play that day.
This could be, it is, the first turnover of the ball game. A turnover on downs by the Rough Riders. Corey Sheets stopped at the line. The Riders' drive stops here.
Corey Sheets unable to convert on third and one. BC takes possession at the Rider 51 with 2:50 left in the third quarter.
Corey Chamberlain has seen his Rough Riders turn over the ball on downs. Yesterday we talked to Mike Benavides. We asked about the collision between Corey Sheets and Adam Big Hill. He said it will be a colossal collision.
Yeah,
here's one.
We've seen them meet a couple times, but here's a pretty significant one. Adam Big Hill shoots the gap, takes the legs out on Corey Sheets, knocks him off balance, allowing Corey Banks to come and clean up. Adam Big Hill, for the second consecutive season, he's shut out of the finals in the awards voting, but taking nothing away from the guys who are there.
Love y'all back home. Thanks for support.
One of the most outstanding defensive players in the Canadian Football League.
Perennial All-Star Adam Big Hill. Huge play. First turnover of the ball game. Under three to go, third quarter. 8-point game and another big collision. Weldon Brown levels Steph Logan.
You could use this as in an instructional video. Fantastic tackle by Weldon Brown. Close to the outside, gets his leverage, explodes forward, wrap up the legs and drive. Terrific defensive play by Brown, the former Edmonton Eskimo.
Loss of one, quick huddle for the Lions. They come right back out. Five receivers set. Harris in the backfield again. Delayed draw. Fishola can try to chase down Harris, who is pummeled by Brackenridge out of bounds. Quick to get up, short of the first down. Guy who loves to hit, Dwayne Ford.
Hey, if you like football, you can't help but like Tyron Brackenridge.
Tyron, none of us will ever know, so I gotta ask, what is it like when you just crush a running back?
Man, that is so electrifying. It's a great feeling. And I was at that mode because, like, the whole game I was literally trying to go in for a knockout. Not like literally knock him out, but a big hit, you know. And, man, when I was able to get that shot on him, I remember Craig Butler was over in that area, was like getting ready to gear up to tackle him, and I just flew across with Craig and just put that nice little hit on him. There's a picture of that out there, actually, and it's like snow chips or something from his helmet that just, like, literally popped off. Like, it's crazy. I don't know. Like, I wanted him to feel every bit of me anytime he ran the ball.
He had a big smile. You asked him yesterday about hitting and the fact that he likes that free safety role and maybe get some guys in his crosshairs. He had that big smile on his face.
Yeah, he sure did. He relishes a chance to lower the boom.
Back-to-back punts now for the Lions. Heading into a field possession game now here in the second half. High drifting kick, and it will bound into the end zone. Jock Sanders is going to give up one, and it will be a 9-point game here in Regina, the Western semifinal, a minute to go, third quarter.
Let's go, right ace.
Saw some fireworks offensively in that first half. Defense is settling in here now in this third quarter. Durant. Roughrider is able to give up only 1 point off that turnover. On that punt, Weston Dressler scored the Riders' touchdown. Outside, first down. Smallest guy on the field, receiver-wise, biggest heart, surest hands.
Yeah, a little question, Weston Dressler. Does a nice job making the move to get to the outside on Court Parks. Looked like he had a shot at him close to the line of scrimmage. But Dressler turns it into a first down for the Riders.
Guy who was picked up out of the university ranks in North Dakota in Grand Forks a few years ago. Now Sheets reverses field and is going nowhere. Jermaine Reed, one of the backup D linemen in on this sequence, makes the stop.
Chris Best, as you remember, what were the Lions doing to Sheets to make him not your leading rusher in this game?
BC was playing lights out. They were playing excellent on defense there. They really had some dogs out there. And so Sheets was getting bottled up. He'd been bottled up by BC earlier, I think once that year. But Darian, the draw kept working, and me and Labatt, because they were in a 30 front, and me and Labatt kept getting up on the linebackers and Big Hill and Anton and making their lives miserable, as we like to do. If it's going to keep working, we're going to keep calling it. And we always do. That was the nice thing about Cortez. He wouldn't abandon the run. Just because the CFL is such a passing league, some offensive coordinators will abandon the run earlier than, say, the offensive lineman would like. But we always knew Cortez would come back to the run, and we always appreciated him for that.
Well, this is the BC Lions game plan. This is what their focus has been in terms of trying to contain Corey Sheets. You understand that Corey Sheets is a dominant running back. He's a guy who can absolutely turn games around. But the feeling of defensive coordinator Rich Stubler, that they have to keep him inside. You can't let him bounce it to the outside. Or he gets a chance to turn it on. If they can keep it from being any of those big 10-plus yard runs, they can limit the damage of Sheets overall through the game.
Deep drop for Durant. Now he takes off of that, and Darian Durant goes forward. Huge run by the Rough Rider quarterback. sprints straight ahead down to the BC 45-yard line. 15-yard gain on the final play of the third quarter, the Western semifinal.
Corey Sheets, you're down 25-16 right now. Any concern in your mind?
I wasn't necessarily saying we was concerned about trailing, but it was just like we all came together and was just like had a don't panic moment. Because usually, like especially like situations like that, and then with everything that was on the table for us, it was just like, man, if we came this far, we can't go out in the first round. But if we don't panic and stay together and stay calm, and just the plays are going to come.
Tyron, did you think that BC would be the toughest opponent you would face in these playoffs?
No, not at all. That game was a nail biter. Lule came out and he was able to do whatever he wanted. And then Darian, thank God for Darian, because he got out there and he did everything he wanted. You know, like that was a game that was literally the battle of the quarterbacks right there. I can definitely say that because both of those quarterbacks took charge of that game.
The BC Lions own a 25-16 lead.
G-Roy, you have a story from pregame with Darian Durant. Tell us that one, if you would.
I remember being in the locker room 4 hours before the game, and it was just me and him. And the one thing, the benefit of me playing all the years in BC was knowing that defense. We talked that if he ever got in trouble, the best thing he could do is run. And I distinctly remember telling him, like, look, if you get in trouble and you feel a little bit stressed in the pocket, just take off and run, because I knew in that defense there was no answer for a running quarterback. Kerry Joseph had beat us in 2007, the West Final, doing the exact same thing. So I knew that was the answer. And Darian did a great job of, when things weren't there, he tucked it and took off running. And that was the thing that changed the game for us.
One quarter stands between the Riders and the West Final. They trail by 9. They have the ball first and 10 at the BC 45.
The Saskatchewan Rough Riders down by 9, 1-6 in 2013, trailing after three quarters. Those numbers, under rushing, 172-53. You might have thought that would have been reversed for the Rough Riders today.
Yeah, for sure. When you look at the way the regular season had gone, Andrew Harris and the BC running game had been held in check by the Saskatchewan defense. Corey Sheets averaged 114 yards per game in his two appearances against BC this year. Credit the BC defense for what they've done against Sheets, and obviously their offense and that offensive game plan for what they've been able to do in moving the football.
Darian Durant told us at the beginning of the year, Mission 2K13 started early. In the offseason, he pored over videotape, not of himself, but of Anthony Calvillo, all 18 games last year, and the way that the master mastered games, and he learned a lot from that. Wanted to learn how Anthony Calvillo was able to become a champion and a winner. Durant going deep. End zone down. And oh, unbelievably, G-Roy Simon couldn't make that grab. Only the second time he's looked to number 81, the former Lion, in this game.
Well, there was a window where he had him, G-Roy Simon, number two receiver, coming out of the slot. Gets a nice release on the inside, straight down that seam on Josh Bell. Held up for a second, waiting for that football. He's been unable to pull it in with the leap at the last second.
Durant, of course, the Rough Riders losing in 2009 in the Grey Cup, 2010. Bitter taste on his tongue from last year. They lost in Calgary in this game, the West semifinal. Now Darian Durant again, all by himself, up Main Street. Durant inside the 15, down to the 10-yard line. So just when we thought that Corey Sheets would be the weapon on the ground, it's Darian Durant himself.
Well, we talked about it with Travis Lule earlier. Same goes for Darian Durant. This time of year, you do whatever it takes to buy yourself another week. And Darian Durant on this drive, a couple of huge runs, putting this team on his back. Making plays here, moving the Saskatchewan Rough Riders within scoring position.
Corey, tell us about Darian's performance on that night, because he and not you were the leading rusher in this game.
It was just one of those nights where his number was clicking, and no matter what he did, it worked. Whether he was passing the ball or running the ball, every decision he made was decisive and on point.
Chris Best, I'm just going to read the stats to you and get your reaction to Darian Durant, 6 runs for 97 yards.
Duran was on fire that game. He was so determined, the fire in his eyes. And as I said, running that 30 front against those draws, allowing Labatt and I to get up on those linebackers and just make their lives hell. It worked well for us because Dominic could take the nose one-on-one and we could go clear some lanes for Dubs. And yeah, I guess the rest is history.
Marion Durant, three carries, 55 yards, the last 35 yards. Now, Corey Sheets brought down for a loss. I don't think Darian Durant learned some of that running from any of the AC highlight video, but it was very interesting when he told us that at the beginning of the year and how this is all a commitment to Darian Durant to increase not only his individual numbers, but more so the team mission of winning the Grey Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. Anthony Calvillo, 2009-2010, sports a couple of Grey Cup rings that Darian Durant desperately wanted and was very close to having.
Yesterday, Durant also said, patience. Patience is going to be virtuous today. To the end zone! Touchdown, Dressler! Here come the Riders. So Steph Logan has two for the Lions. Wes Dressler has two for the Riders.
Yeah, the angle he takes to get there is a little bit different, but ultimately, going to the corner, just a quick stem to the inside. Defender's got to honor that inside fake. Weston Dressler gets there with separation. Darian Durant puts it on the money.
On the money. Right back in this. Now a two-point game. Dressler scores again for the Rough Riders. Loads of time left in the Western semifinal.
Weston Dressler's touchdown puts the Riders back within 2 points. 13:02 remains in the fourth quarter here in Regina.
Weston Dressler put up monster numbers last year. A little bit down production-wise, no matter. This is where Weston Dressler shines. Big games.
Yeah, big games, big players. Weston Dressler, certainly that for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Another 1,000-yard season on his resume. A more balanced offense means 3,000-yard receivers as opposed to him being the lone guy.
13 minutes to go, fourth quarter. Winner to take on the Calgary Stampeders a week from today. They wait in the wings. Steph Logan. Brought down on the far side by Frank Butler. Both quarterbacks have shown great poise and patience here today. Taking what the defense gives them.
These are both guys who have had playoff success. Both have been to Grey Cups. They understand what's on the line. They understand what it takes to get to the big game. Doing a terrific job, both men, of leading their teams.
Guys who aren't dressed for the Riders, inciting the crowd here. They don't need any inciting right now. They are into this. Steph Logan quietens the crowd for just a moment. 8-yard pickup.
The running back platoon continues. Harris back in the ballgame. Now we've seen a couple long drives in this football game from the BC Lions. 8 minute, 40 second scoring drive in the first half. 5 minute drive to start the second half. Now's the time when they need that ball control offense at its best.
Second down and two. The handoff to Andrew Harris. And another first down. Former Vancouver Island Raider, Andrew Harris. Former junior star. Another big carry.
Right tackle, Javon Olafioye. He's going to kick out Alex Hall. Lead block by Sean Gore coming in on the linebacker, Craig Butler. Creates that run lane for a Harris first down.
Harris won three junior championships in Vancouver Island. Far side with Manny Arsenault making the catch. Harris comes back on the field now. Talked about the junior star Andrew Harris and what he did playing in Vancouver Island. Yesterday, the Vancouver Island Raiders, his old team, played here trying to get another Canadian Bowl in this field, but they lost to the Regina Thunder, who are now Canada's junior champions.
Let's go! A pretty good turnout. Junior football, hugely popular. He's well supported here in the province of Saskatchewan.
They pump it up again here, second and five. Here comes the rush. Lulai again over the top. Decked, absolutely crushed by Dwight Anderson.
Brandon Tamman, in your mind, this play by Dwight Anderson was enormous.
Lule was going to hit Arsenal coming over the middle, and DA got off his coverage and saw the play happening and just jarred him from the ball, because it would have been a big play for BC, and they ended up punting. For whatever reason, the momentum was sort of up for grabs at that point in the game, and DA made a play to get us the ball back, and maybe that's what got Daring again on his running ways right after that. Because I think Dressler might have got the touchdown before that play hit happening. But the momentum was really gathering for us, and when he made that play, it sort of stuck it into the offense even more so for us to go and get on our winning ways.
Well, that'll give him something to talk about. Manny Arsenault's coming across underneath. Dwight Anderson recognizes, comes off his man, and boom!
Was as punishing a hit as you will ever see.
Well, it was great recognition by Anderson, because he took a peek. They're trying to clear him out. He saw that route coming and came off his man to put himself in position to make that big hit.
This Lions offense now sputtering. Third straight punt now after so many successful turns of putting points on the board. They have also not scored any points against the wind in this game. It is playoff football at its best. Canadian football at its best in November. Hard hitting, fast driving. Best of all, some ground here in Regina.
Riders getting the ball back. First and 10 from their own 23. 10:01 remains in this game. Riders down 25-23.
With Dwayne Ford, Farhan Lalji, Rod Black with you in Regina, Saskatchewan. Earlier today, the Hamilton Tiger Cats knocked off the Montreal Alouettes in overtime to advance to the East Final. They'll play in Toronto next week. Calgary awaits the winner of this one. TBA. Guys who have played here so many years, veteran Neil Hughes, big play. Let's go down to Farhan.
Guys, Corey Sheets is staying in this game because of that touchdown. You know, I spoke to Mike Benavides before the game, and he said Corey Sheets gets so much of his yardage in the second half, it's really important that they play from ahead so that he can't dictate terms. And they were 8 points up going, or 9 points up going into that last drive. Now you're going to see more of Corey Sheets because it's still a one-score game.
More of Corey Sheets means more of this. The guy's got a few nicknames. Rocket, number one. You got to call him fourth quarter Sheets. He picks it up when that game clock counts down.
Well, a guy who thrives on a heavy workload. We've seen a number of times this season, Corey Sheets with 25 plus carries. And as the defense is getting tired, he seems to be getting stronger as the game goes on.
45 rush yards, well below what we think from Corey Sheets. And always capable to bust a big one, the former Purdue Boilermaker.
The Saskatchewan Rough Riders looking like they've gone a little bit more into that eat up the clock, feed the beast, Corey Sheets mode here midway through the fourth quarter.
This game starting to resemble the West semifinal from 3 years ago when these two teams last met. There goes Sheets on the delay. Corey Sheets spinning. You know, Michael Jordan used to have this thing when the tongue came out, you had to watch out. When Corey Sheets starts spinning like that, watch out.
Corey Sheets, you guys are down 2 points, but you have runs for 12 yards, 4 yards, 10 yards. You're rolling again after a slow third quarter.
It was just situational things, right? Our O-line that season was unbelievable. So it was just whenever they got into their mind, they was ready to block. It wasn't nobody that was going to stand in front of them.
Yeah, if you would, just expand on how good that offensive line was.
Oh, my God, it was ridiculous. I used to tell them after the season was over, I made a joke with everybody. It was like, I feel like I didn't play much this season because my body was just so fresh. And like the first year, I would be the first person in the locker room after a game in the cold tub up to my neck and there for about 20 to 30 minutes just because my body was so sore. But this, the Grey Cup year, I would go in there and just stick my feet in. Like, it ain't going about my day. Like, I really was was so fresh in that old line took good care of me. It was crazy.
Yeah, you can tell Corey Sheets is feeling it right now. He's lined up right behind that goalpost in the backfield with Durant. He'll bounce it to the left side. Eric Taylor had a shot at him in the line of scrimmage. Unable to wrap up the slippery back.
On the sideline now, John Sanders in for him. He gets it this time, squirms out near the 47-yard line. The time of possession is starting to change a little bit now, favoring Saskatchewan. BC's defense on the field a lot more.
You get the sense that the Rough Riders, the offensive linemen, I've heard it many times myself in the huddle, they're running the ball well. You know they're going back to the huddle themselves, telling Darian Durant, telling the coaches on the sideline, keep running the ball.
And the Lion goes down with injury. Free safety, J.R. LaRose. Just went down quickly, and so the Riders who were lining up to scrimmage will now take a break. So will we. We'll step aside. 6:58 to go in the fourth.
We'll get back to the action in a minute. Weston Dressler popping in with us now. It's second down and 5. And Weston, this situation was all you in 2013. What do you think made you so good on second down?
Probably my quarterback. I look at second down. Anytime you have a chance to keep the chains moving, it's important. So it's attention to the details of where you're at in the game, whether we're on the field or down a distance. Every second down, I always felt like it was important. First off, to get the first down, because it creates more opportunities. You know, you got 2 more plays then, at least. And playing in the CFL, you know, at any moment that big play can happen. So getting the first down is crucial to me. Keep the chains moving, keep the offense on the field. You know, I think the chemistry that I had with Darian throughout my career probably played a huge role in that. We got to a point where we were very comfortable with each other. Felt like we, more times than not, were seeing the defense and seeing the field in a similar fashion and understanding where the open space was going to be when we had that type of flexibility to kind of not go rogue but just kind of deviate a little bit from the plan, and I think we both always felt comfortable with each other.
6:58 left in the fourth quarter. Riders down 25-23, working from the BC 47.
Impressive drive for the Riders here. Dressler jukes one way, goes the other. They'll move the sticks again inside the 40-yard line. Scores twice here in this game from Weston Dressler.
Well, the Rough Riders have found life. Their go-to guys, Darian Durant, came up with some big runs to keep a drive alive, set up a score. Weston Dressler, the couple touchdowns, made a couple catches along the way. Of course, Corey Sheets on this possession seems to have found his groove in terms of the run game.
Back in, there he is. Trying to get it outside, but met quickly by a couple of white and orange jerseys, including former Saskatchewan Rough Rider Anton McKenzie. Again, McKenzie into this ball game today as a starter because Solomon Elamimian is back in BC with an injury. McKenzie was a member of the Rough Riders Grey Cup winner back in 07.
Yeah, another one of those guys, good veteran guy. Didn't play as many snaps this year as Big Hill and Elamimian, both available for the full season. But McKenzie, a solid guy to plug into that lineup. You don't lose a lot with him in there.
Almost a 5-minute drive here. 8th play coming. Durant looks, steps up, sideline. Rob Bagg almost was able to lay out and make a great catch, but did not. Ward Parks
All-star corner takes that away. So now, remember we talked about the wind earlier. It's not as bad as early in the ball game as we take a look at this incomplete pass and the coverage. But Chris Melo is coming out now. And keep in mind, Saskatchewan does have the wind. That flag is not blowing nearly like it was earlier.
No, certainly not as strong as it was throughout the first half of this ball game.
Chris Melo, 3 of 4 in the game, hit an upright in his first attempt earlier. This is from the 45. His longest of the season was from 50, so well within his range. Melo, kick is up, and it's curling, and it's in! Big field goal. Melo puts it through. Just barely made it over the goalpost and through the uprights. Chris Melo, who has been mentored by former All-Star Don Sweet.
Welcome to the club.
Has helped a lot of kickers. Melo's had an outstanding season. And the Riders have the lead.
What a time for this place to be as loud as it has been at any point all day.
The only lead Saskatchewan had was early in the ballgame, 3-0. They have it now. Deafening here. Lule, who could have done the hook slide probably 10 yards earlier, got more yards after all of that.
Pure improvisation. They may have to put this one in the playbook for next week. Travis Lule goes one way. His running back goes the other. Stephen Logan's on his left. Lule wanted him on the right, but Lule knows where the play's supposed to go, so he just takes it himself.
And 10 from the 52. 1-point ball game. Crashing into the crowd. Steph Logan. You're just joining us. Riders had an early lead, then Lule and the Lions scored twice in that first half on Steph Logan. Touchdown runs. Paul McCallum. Back in a familiar place. Are against the wind here in the fourth. Six yards from a first down. Lule and Andrew Harris can't bring it in on a bad toss from Lule. Had him wide open, and that would have been a big gainer.
The Rough Riders got to Lule just as he went to release this football. Lule knows he's got Harris in the flat. Looks like he just got clipped from the backside. Checking his release on the ball.
Fourth straight punt now by the Lions. Stalled offensively. And again, unable to score against the wind. They trail by one in the Western semifinal. The 3-minute warning given to both sidelines.
Corey, as the running back, you're up one, 2:56 left. What's your mentality in these situations?
Get me the ball and I can run this clock out. We can get off this field. That was really our mentality coming into the second half of the game, and especially in the fourth quarter. It was like, hey, O-line, do what y'all do. Corey, just stay behind him and run this clock out.
Chris Best, you're at your own 23 with a one-point lead. What are you focused on here?
Get first downs, run the clock, stay in bounds. Just grind it out. You know, you want to end the game in the victory formation, the best formation in football. So you just want to keep on the ball. You want to keep getting those first downs and keep burning clock.
Under three to go. The Riders first and 10 from their own 23, holding that one-point lead.
Well, just as they were 3 years ago in the West semifinals, Saskatchewan and BC, close encounters. Riders clawing back, one-point game. They have the football with 2:43 to go. A trip to Calgary beckons for the winner, and Corey Sheets spied perfectly by Corey Banks.
Yeah, Corey Banks was coming hard off the edge. He knew what was coming. He was all in on that one. The Lions desperately need a stop. Corey Banks coming off that right edge of the line. And he's going inside all the way. He's not worried about Darian Durant on the bootleg. He's pretty confident where the ball's going at this stage in the game.
Here's one of the biggest second downs of the game offensively for the Rough Riders.
Lions haven't had a stop here in the fourth quarter.
Second and 10. And Darian Durant calls his own number, goes forward, first down and more. Look at him go, Darian Durant. Huge play. 28-yard scamper.
Well, you had to be thinking screen draw in the situation, but the Riders pulled it off anyway. That's all Darian Durant.
Tyron Brackenridge, I'm always curious because you guys have a narrow lead, but you're not on the field. The offense is on the field. So what are you feeling in this situation?
Oh, we're anxious. We looking at Darian work magic. Once we get our adjustments and they moving that ball, they moving down, I think at that particular time, we're just trying to stay warm, stay loose, because we knew at some point we're going to have to go back out there. We all know it, the last 3 minutes of a Canadian football game is like a whole nother college quarter, right? So,
yep.
So we're like, just staying focused, staying locked in, and we are literally just watching Darian just go to work.
Four carries, and he's made the most of them. 83 yards on the ground for number four.
This is a guy who's had a walking ankle most of the season. No signs of it there. It's winning time. 2 minutes to go. Lions can only hope for a stop here in the next few downs. And it looked like a horse collar tackle. It is. Penalty flag. Chris Wilson almost took off Corey Sheets' head.
Major foul. Unnecessary roughness. Head tackle. BC 15-yard penalty. Automatic first down.
That is a huge penalty and a costly one.
Wilson had a hold of the bottom of that helmet right around the jaw pad. Easy call for the officials.
And a team that had the fewest penalties in the CFL. Here's the rub now, Dwayne. Even if the Lions stop them here, they're in Chris Melo range. The Riders, even if they get a field goal, would force the Lions to get a touchdown to win. Keep it on the ground. Sheets again. So now another critical second down upcoming.
There's no reason to do anything but keep it on the ground, whether it's Sheets or Durant. Based on what the Rough Riders have been able to do in the fourth quarter of this football game, no reason to take the risk of putting the football in the air.
Again, Chris Melo just making that 45-yarder. We say just making it. And right now, if they stop them at the line of scrimmage, it's about another 45-yarder that would be upcoming. We'll see what happens on this play. Second and 8 for the Rough Riders. G-Roy Simon is in motion. And he's going to go up the middle again. Darian Durant has done it again.
Predictable.
Brandon, Durant's performance in this game is incredible. 19 of 23, 270 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he was your leading rusher with 6 carries for 97 yards. Just incredible.
Yeah, no question. I think at the end of the day, Derek, and I don't want to overlook this, Darian was the key to our whole team. Like, he's a quarterback. Like, every quarterback on every team is the most important cog. Darian put that team on her shoulders in the fourth quarter and said, we're going to win this game, come hell or high water, and I'm going to run if I have to do it, and he did. His playoff run, that whole three-game set that he had, and you probably saw his numbers, were unbelievable. You know, he just was very efficient. He executed the game plan really well. We had Jock Sanders even come in and do some roles here and there for us throughout. It was just a well-scripted, well-executed plan, and Darian obviously was the centerpiece to it. And he played very error-free football, which is the key to everything.
The old quarterback sneak has worked to perfection.
That's a fairly safe bet. Again, when you look at the way the quarter has gone, they haven't been able to contain Durant on the run, haven't been able to shut down Sheets on the run. There is no reason for Saskatchewan to put the ball in the air, and the Lions should have anticipated that play call.
And now time is their enemy. 1:10 to go. And again, well within Chris Melo's range to make it a touchdown to score if the Lions get the ball back. Sheets up the middle. Clock stops at 56.
Timeout, BC.
What an effort by Darian Durant here in the fourth quarter. Thrown a couple of touchdown passes in this ballgame. But it's the ball that he's done with his legs that has become the story for this team. This is a guy who is committed to getting the win.
This is a guy who helped conjure up the phrase escapability in the pocket. This is no escapability. He's just going forward, taking off. The hole opens up, and Durant's taking advantage. What a night.
Well, running through tackles, dropping the shoulder on people, whatever it takes. That's playoff football.
This is a must stop now for the Lions on 2nd and 8. Durant throws to Bag. And they stop him here. 5 seconds eaten up on the clock. So Chris Melo will now come out. And a must make for Melo in so many ways. There is plenty of time left on this clock. He makes this field goal. 4-point game. Forces the Lions to get to the end zone to win. More star from Lavelle. Outstanding season. 89%. Kick is up and it is good. And that might be the sealer. That could punch the ticket to Calgary. Travis Lule has other ideas. The Lions have to score a touchdown to win. Travis Lule, 142 yards passing in the first half. Just 43 yards here in the second. But will not. Clock stops at 19.
Unable to get to the sidelines. They had a couple routes closer to the sideline, but they were covered up, forcing Lule to go to Harris in the middle of the field. To get the play in quick, be ready to snap it when that clock gets moving.
Rider fans bring the thunder again.
Whole stadium on its feet.
Get out of bounds, and it's going to come down to one play. It's going to come down to one play, and a guy who's been nursing a sore shoulder, an injured shoulder. They're going to have to stretch this out. They have to get to the end zone. This is it.
BC Lions team that hasn't been able to score against the wind in this entire ball game. Needs it all on one play here.
final play of the Western semifinal. Quick hitter. Arsenal has to lateral it. He does. Marco Iannuzzi now. He'll have to pitch it too. He does. Andrew Harris throws it back. That's it. It is over. The mission continues. The Grey Cup dream is still alive in Saskatchewan.
Did your teammates try to kill you after you'd recovered that fumble? Were they trying to kill you at the
end? Oh, man. I'm telling you. I was stuck at the bottom of that pile, literally, for like an hour, and I could not breathe. Like, I thought I was going to pass out. Thank God for my face mask, because it gave me a little bit of breathing room and keeping my face from smashing on the turf. And I was literally breathing like I had to, like, breathe. Like, taking short breaths to keep myself going. And, like, oh, my gosh, that was probably, like, one of the worst, scariest, but remarkable feelings ever.
What a finish. What a game. A crowd here in Regina that is in party mode. In fact, an entire province celebrating tonight. Rider Nation celebration will continue for at least one more week. The Riders are off to Calgary for the Western Final. The final, 29-25 Saskatchewan.
Back inside the booth with Derek and Luke, following the Riders' 29-25 victory in the West semifinal, they advance to the West Final, where they will take on the Calgary Stampeders. And Luke, my favorite part of this whole episode was G. Roy Simon's story. Hey, I was in the locker room 4 hours in advance of the game, said to Darian Durant, if you get in any trouble, you run, because this defense has no answer for that. I know, I played there for a decade, no answer. 6 rushes for 97 yards for Darian Durant. I believe that does, in fact, equal no answer.
Well, and what you have to consider is, it wasn't just 6 rushes for 97 yards. It was 6 rushes when there was no answer offensively. Like, literally, if those 6 rushes don't happen, BC's 2-and-outing them. That was the thing. BC, and that's why it was so important to bring up the fact, like, they weren't prepared. They didn't scheme that, because they schemed everything else, literally, right? And you look at Darian Durant's stats that game. They weren't, right? They weren't. They
completion
weren't
percentage was good, but yardage wasn't.
Jumping. Yeah, they yeah. weren't jumping out at you, right? So that's the problem. So now you're literally going, and I've been on defenses where it feels like that. These guys can't do nothing. They can't do anything, guys. We got this. Because, honestly, they've been playing them well.
Mm.
Once that run game with Darian got going, like, you could see he was dropping back. The BC Lions, they were coming out of their pass rush lanes, because they were just thinking, hey, it's pass rush. They need to pass. They need to beat us, and to beat us, they need to throw the ball. They were all pass rush, and doubles was just picking them apart. And that's where, again, that's where you have to understand that the context of that, those runs, why it was so important, because literally if doubles hadn't elected to tuck and run, they were going to lose that game. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't happening. They were not going to come out of that game with a win, period.
And part of why Durant is so beloved now, here 7 years later, absolutely. Corey Sheets, he's bottled up in the run game for the final time this season, because his final and his Grey Cup were phenomenal. 17 carries for 68 yards, but then, oh, by the way, he had a 61-yard reception. So though it wasn't his finest game, and BC had made an effort to stop him, still 131 yards mm-hmm. from scrimmage for Corey Sheets, which is just another indication of what kind of a weapon he was.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about Corey, and they used him well all year, but again, those are good statistics, right? When you have 100, when you have a buck something, like, you contributed,
yeah.
right? But again, it's that whole deal where it's like, you got to get across the ends, or you got to get across the goal line with the football, right? And when you're a team like BC, you'll give up 100 yards as long as the guy doesn't get it. Getting in the end zone is what hurts you.
As long as you can stop him on a third
yeah,
and one,
yeah,
like happened
exactly,
in this game, yeah.
Right? Like, if you can stop him on the short yardage plays, and that's where you'll take. We'll take them, because that's the thing. There are some guys, DT, that are just going to make big plays, period. You're not going to stop
yeah.
them, right? Like, it's like
Taj Smith in this game. Yeah.
What you've got to do, though, is you've got to bottle those big plays up, and you've got to yield them in areas of the game where it's not going to bend the momentum to the opponent forever. Because there are some, like, for instance, after a big stop, right? If you get a big stop and then the O turns around and goes for it and hits the team with a big play, that after a big stop, that's just literally soul crushing, right? So that's what you've got to do. You've got to keep guys like Sheets from literally making those impact plays at certain times. Mm-hmm. It's okay to make a big play here and there, and that's why he gets paid, right? That's why he's worth what he's worth, because he's capable of doing that. Let's just hold him off the scores. Let's bend but don't break. You hear that all the time. Bend but don't break. Bend but don't break. That's what they mean.
Yeah.
You can come as close to the goal line you want, but you're kicking a field goal. You're not crossing this goal line, especially you. Especially you, Corey Sheets. We're not giving this team the momentum that you provide if you cross the goal line. We're not watching you draw the outline of the window and kick it through. You're not doing that in front of your home crowd. That's literally the conversations.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt it at all. And those are the conversations that would lead Brendan Tamba to have conversations of, okay, we need weapons. We need 3,000-yard receivers. We need depth when Getzlaff can't play. We need the best offensive line in the league. We need defensive studs. Hey, let's get John Chick back and enough talent to take out what was their toughest opponent, oddly enough, in this run to the Grey Cup in 2013. Next up for them would be the 14-win Calgary Stampeders. We'll talk about that, set up a little preview of next week's Road to the Grey Cup on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Back inside the booth with Derek and Luke as we do the West semifinal from the 2013 Road to the Grey Cup. In the East on this day, the second place Hamilton Tiger Cats needed some overtime to beat Montreal. 19-16 was the final. Henry Burris, the starting quarterback for the Ticats, as you remember, he was in for only 2 of their 8 plays in overtime because, flash to the past, Dan Lefevre was in. Ran 6 times for 17 yards, including the winning touchdown to take Hamilton off to the East Final against Toronto. Dan Lefevre's crowning moment in the CFL happened on the same day as the Riders beat BC in the West Semi. 29-25. Off to Calgary for the next week for the West Final, Luke, a team that had won 14 games and had John Cornish running for 7 yards per carry. And then, oh, by the way, Joe West and Jeff Fuller and Mo Price, and with Kevin Glenn at quarterback. Calgary was a team that had a ton of weapons and I would have thought was going to be a big challenge for the Riders.
Here's the deal. If you're going to get in through the West, at some point in time, you're going to have to beat Calgary. And that's what we understood as Riders. That's what this team understood. That's what, throughout my history of my career with the Saskatchewan, that's what we understood. Calgary, they're the standard. They're always going to be in front of you. And how are you going to respond? It was the same thing in 2010. We had to go to Calgary to get the win to go to the Grey Cup. Like, that's just part of the deal in the Canadian Football League, especially in this era. The 10s, it's literally you got to go through Calgary. But here's the thing. That win against BC was so galvanizing, especially after the fact that they had gotten through all of the noise regarding the 2 losses previous to that.
Mm-hmm.
That team went in there feeling like, hey, it didn't matter who they, that could be the 93 Dallas Cowboys standing across there. We're going to win. We're going to go. And here's the thing. Every single one of those guys, well, not every single one of them, but there were a ton of those guys on that team that have experience playing in Calgary in that cold. It gets cold in Calgary now, especially around this time of year. That's their advantage, right? Like, a lot of people think that Saskatchewan has the advantage by playing in the weather they play. Calgary's freezing. I played there when it's minus 30.
Oof.
Like, where you're literally calling a play, you're doing the play, and you're running back off to sit in front of the heater before the next play gets called, right? So there are a bunch of things that you just, that before you even hit the field against the Calgary Stampeders, that mentally you have to get over.
Mm-hmm.
The best part about that is before they set foot in Calgary, before they got off the plane, all those mental hurdles and all that veteran experience, they were already things of the past. You can just go in there and you can literally say, we're gonna smash Calgary today. And they did. They did. They put it to them.
It by a remarkable margin, you can't believe. And Calgary kept turning the ball over. Saskatchewan kept taking advantage. And to hear guys talk about how much they love playing in the cold weather, Chris Best with multiple stories of that, Corey Sheets with the ultimate confidence, and even Brendan Tamman. We'll hear from all of them coming up next as we preview next week's episode of the Road to the Grey Cup 2013 on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. So it was a hard-fought win for the Riders in the semifinal against the Lions. It was unexpected, but you may remember that it was, in fact, their toughest game on the Road to the Grey Cup. And who would have thought that with first-place Calgary up next? The Riders had lost six straight games in Calgary by an average of 13 points. But after the high of the comeback win against BC, running back Corey Sheets felt that there was nothing that was going to stop them.
Just talking, even had a conversation like, yeah, we're about to beat them behind. Like, this is going to be so easy. Like, we felt like the Grey Cup game was that Calgary West final. That was the real challenge. But even that game wasn't as hard as it should have been.
They kept turning the ball over, so obviously they had some bad bounces in that game. And at that time and for years, my perspective anyway was that they didn't love playing in the cold weather. And that was a really cold game.
Brendan Tamman, in that West final against Calgary, I was setting up to ask you, did you feel like, oh my God, it's again with these Calgary Stampeders? But it sounds like you felt actually confident going into a game in Calgary.
Yeah, it was strange. You know, I think just the makeup of our team that whole year and the way we got through BC, which was so tough, we honestly felt that BC gave us the ultimate challenge to beat. Could Calgary give us more than that? And we didn't think they could. Now, they're a good football team. I'm not trying to take anything away from Calgary here. I just think we felt if we can get through BC the way they were playing at their level of play, we thought we could go into Calgary and win. We didn't know we were going to win, but we felt really good about it.
That's our game next week. The Riders in Calgary for the West Final on the Road to the Grey Cup 2013. You'll hear from Corey Sheets, Brendan Tamman, Tyron Brackenridge, Chris Best has some terrific thoughts on John Cornish, and so very many more. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you taking this walk down memory lane with us. This is the Road to the Grey Cup 2013 for Luke and Mitchell and Rob Vanstone. I am Derek Taylor. Thanks for being with us on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.